Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. Tonight's is Monday, March 10th, 2014. I got a couple of announcements to make, and then we'll want to take a look at a paper we just wrote recently over the weekend to be sent out to the sheriffs here in New York. But first of all, next week, it's not going to be absolute, but most probably we're going to be changing venues. We're definitely going to change venues for numerous reasons. We had the opportunity to purchase a program called Webinar Jam, and it's got just all kinds of bells and whistles and all kinds of things you could do. The really nice thing is that we can even play videos. We could do videos over the web if we wanted. We could do PowerPoints. I mean, it's really very, very rich. It's the richest webinar-type program out there. And the great thing about it, it only cost us $297 forever. They were running a special. It's $297 a year to get the program and the updates every year. And they were running a special, at least when we found it, for 6 days, and we bought it. And the special was, if you bought it before the days were up, you got it lifetime access. So we took that opportunity. We also have been trying out a program that we've used called, I think it's, yeah, Free Conference Call HD. I think that was the name of it, .com. And I'll tell you, that was a really good program. We used it Friday for our meeting here in New York, and it's got a really, really nice working panel. You press the next button and the next caller comes into line and the other caller falls off. And, of course, they have the opportunity to raise their hand to come back up in line again into the queue. So it's a really good and clean sounding program, and it's free. So we don't want to, nothing's better than free, I guess, especially if something's good. So we're going to combine those two programs. We're going to be testing it out this week to make sure it works properly. We'll have a new call-in number. It'll be posted up onto the website. And when you come onto line, you will, I'm not sure, we might be able to set it up that anybody that's registered on our site will automatically be registered. So you'll just have to come onto the site and click on enter the, you might have to, I think you'll get a link the day before the day of the conference, and you have to click the link to get into the conference, and you'll automatically go right into it. There will be a sign-up requirement if we're unable to make the connection with our, list of people that we have already online. We should be able to export all of the members over. So we'll see how that goes. But worst comes to worst, you're going to have to sign up once. And then it's a matter of using that link to get into the meeting. So we're going to try that out probably next week. I wanted to try to do it for this week, but I don't recall if I brought this up last week or not, so we held off. And also, I haven't had time to set it up. It looks like it's going to take me a couple hours of, to get oriented on it. So we'll do that. We'll get an announcement out. Next week, like I said, next week we're probably going to do this. Okay, I want to send a message out to the New York people. We had a meeting on Saturday. We made some decisions. I think we made some very good decisions on where we're going and what the next thing we're doing, and we did indict another judge, the last judge standing in Greene County. And we agreed that we were going to meet every Saturday at 10 a.m. between now and the time that we execute this next part of the program here in New York. We can't talk about that because we don't want the enemy to know what we're doing. So as soon as we launch it, you'll know about it, and I think it's going to be a very interesting thing we're going to be doing here in New York. But this Saturday, turns out I forgot, I'll be traveling. We're heading out to couple of different states and do some final elections and in those two states. And so what we'll do is we're going to have the meeting on Thursday. This Saturday's meeting is going to be Thursday at 7 p.m., just to bring everybody up to speed where we're at. That's New York only. So you'll get a private message. Probably tomorrow I'll send it out, unless I get a chance tonight to do it. We'll get the message out either tonight or tomorrow, and we'll give you the new date for that. After this Thursday, the Saturday after, but we'll go back to 10 o'clock meetings, and we'll talk about that on Thursday night. Again, everybody from New York, you want to get the word out to others in New York to come to that meeting. It's important that we really unite and get ready for this. We're going to need, when we make the big announcement of what we're doing, we're going to need everybody that can possibly meet with us in New York to come. I mean, we're not expecting people across the country, of course, but, you know, people that are next-door neighbors, Connecticut, Jersey, maybe even Pennsylvania. And we're really counting on all the New York people to participate in what our next move is going to be. So it should be a pretty big event, and, again, we'll talk about that when we can. Let's see now. Okay, this Friday it is expected that Florida will be electing its final counties the counties will constitute and be the final counties to be constituted in Florida. So Florida will become the second state to have all their counties constituted, and that should be by this Friday, Lord willing. By this Saturday, we anticipate Connecticut and Rhode Island totally to be on board, all counties. Before the end of the month, I'm not sure, maybe Jason's on tonight, he can tell us. I think they're planning to have Jersey done before the 30th. I think he said earlier than that, but I'm pretty sure he said this month he's going to have it done. By the end of April, which is not far away, we expect to have at least 20 states on board, complete, with all counties constituted with common law grand juries. My question to everyone who is listening in, those who are listening in live and those who download, we do get a lot of people downloading. We had almost 700 downloads of our last Monday program. And I started looking back into some of those statistics. So we do get a lot of downloads, people who are unable to make it or they don't make it, but they eventually listen in. So anybody in the hearing of my voice, my question is your county constituted? And if it has not been, if you have not constituted the common law grand jury in your county, why not? It's really easy. Contact some other people in your surrounding counties, talk to them, get involved, and let's do it. We do have still, I think, about 10 states, maybe 12, somewhere in there, that have not got state leaders. And if you go looking through the states, you'll see the states that don't have state leaders, they're not doing anything. It's very slow. So look into your state. Make sure there's a state leader. Go to the state page up on our page, nationallibertyalliance.org. Just go over to contacts and click on state coordinator and see if your state has a state coordinator, coordinator. And if they don't, why don't you consider becoming one and get other people? You know, you're going to have two or three coordinators, you know, work together. We don't have to put the weight of one person. But the key job of the coordinator, of course, is to get out there and, you know, make phone calls to all of the county coordinators, I mean, organizers, making sure they're getting active and pushing them along for the elections and helping to find leaders in other counties that don't have county organizers. You know, call the counties nearby. To a county that doesn't have any organizers and ask them to help you out to find organizers. But we have to really get active here. We don't have much time. Come on, look and see what's going on in the news. It's really frightening. Time is not something we have much of. Let's get these counties organized. Let's get control of our courts and you know, get our sheriffs on board with us, what we're doing. That can only happen, really, ultimately, after we've taken a seat in the courthouse under the auspices of justice. And they will know who we are then. We started a campaign here in New York, and I think most people know it. We've been posting the communications we've had with the oath takers here in New York, all of the oath takers. And I know I spoke about this before, but it's worth repeating over and over again, because every state needs to execute a plan like we planned. We just sent out, this Wednesday we'll be sending out, I believe it's number 5. I'll take a look as I'm talking. We're sending out memorandums to all the oath takers, sheriffs of course included, and we're faxing them. We're faxing them to all the county clerks. We're faxing them to all the court clerks. We're getting fax copies through the court clerks to the bailiffs and to all the judges of New York State. And we're sending them directly to the sheriffs, 62 of them, 62 counties. Actually, we only have 57 because we've got 7 counties that do not have sheriffs. They have appointed people there. But in any event, we get them out to all the sheriffs, and we're educating them. We're communicating with them. We're telling them who we are. We're telling them what we're doing. We're explaining, you know, what's going on. And if you go out to our breaking news page, you'll see we just posted our 5th open letter to all the New York oath takers. That will be going out Wednesday. I figured I'd post it tonight. It's people. It's no big thing if people see it before they get it. It's fine. And so that should be going out hopefully Wednesday. But if you scroll down, you can see this is our 5th one. So we've done 5 of them. Everyone, you should get together, organize in your state, talk with your state coordinator, and get together with all the county organizers, meet. If you look on the right side of the website here, you will find a program that we just put up there that we're just starting to use. It's called Free High Definition Voice Conferencing. So I believe it's called, freeconferencecallhd.com. Okay, and you can get up to 1,000 people on that call. It's got a great, it's got probably the best control board I've seen on any of these programs, and it's free. You can't beat free. And up to 1,000 people. I mean, who's going to get 1,000 people online on their calls? It's private. You know, you can just call or have a meeting right off the fly. It's private. Very controllable. You see who's calling. It's got caller ID in there. It's got a lot of features to it. So anyway, everybody in every state should be meeting maybe once a week. And really, I think everybody should meet at least once a week right now. We're in hard times, and we've got to get our states organized. And until our states are completely organized, we need to meet as much as possible on our state levels. And let's get each other excited over this and get this job done. And ask for help to get the counties going and work out whatever has to be worked out. But you should get a program going talking to the sheriffs. I would say at least get one county constituted before you start talking to the sheriffs and the other oath takers. I mean, you don't have to, just because this way you're talking to them as the grand jurist. And when you have 2 or more, you can refer to yourself as the unified common law grand jury, like we do in New York. And if you look at our papers, you'll see the top of our letterheads. When we started communicating, we were, you know, so many counties that we had on the top. And each time we sent them new letters or memorandums, we kept adding on new counties until now we're 62 counties. And so they know that we're 62 counties. Even that they see is growing. But the key thing is the subject matter we're covering. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to read the latest letter that we posted up on our breaking news page. I'm going to read that tonight. I don't know if I'll read all the way through. We'll see how time, what kind of time we have to do that. This was one that I've been wanting to cover for a long time, and it's about sovereign citizens, the conspiracy theorist, domestic terrorist, and the sovereign citizen. and what police are taught about that phrase, sovereign citizens. So I want to talk a little bit about that, and I wanted to talk to the sheriffs about it, but I held it off until now. It's the fifth one out. It was actually going to be the fourth, but we had a sheriff to send us a letter, so we responded to that sheriff, and we copied all the other sheriffs because it became an educational piece, and we held this one off until this week, so we're going to be posting this week and sending it out to them. But we've been feeding them, I think it's been a little milk and water, you know, building them up, letting them know who we are, that we're here, how big we are. We're all across the state. This is a national movement. It's not just some group here or there. We're just the regular people, and we explain who we are and what we're doing, and we're given our positions. And really what we're trying to do is train them and teach them of the Constitution, and that's what these memorandums are all about. It's to teach them about the Constitution. A lot of these people, they feel they can't read the papers. I mean, when we sent some papers early on to some of these people, particularly the clerks, and when we went and visited the clerks, I passed it on to the lawyer because they didn't understand it. I mean, that's pretty poor, especially for a court clerk to not be able to understand a paper. So we tried to talk kind of down as much as we could, but we wanted to bring them up. We wanted to get into the more difficult subjects, the touchy subjects like, the sovereign citizen. And anyway, that's where we're going with that, and everybody needs to do that. You can take our five letters plus, because we're going to continue to talk to these sheriffs and to all these people every week until we get in power. We're priming them for when we're getting in power. And we're going to be talking to some of these sheriffs. And again, I don't want to talk about too much of what we're going to do with them yet until we actually do it, and then we'll reveal it. Because again, it's just not wise to do that at this moment. So let's communicate with our oath takers throughout your state. We should be doing this throughout the nation. By everybody doing it in their own state, we will be educating all our sheriffs and getting them up to par and what's going on. Now, we can't talk about too difficult of things too quick, and we don't want to get into the conspiracy theories, you know, or anything like that. We just want to get into the obvious facts that they're capable of seeing, and we want to train them on the meaning of the First Amendment, the meaning of the Second Amendment, and the Fourth, and the Fifth, and the Sixth, and so on. We really want to make them start to realize that when they lifted up their hand, you know, did they lie to us? Did they lie to themselves? When they lifted up their hand and took an oath. And I think in 99% of the sheriffs that have taken that oath, they lied to themselves, and therefore they lied to us, we the people, because they swore to uphold the Constitution. And if they don't know what the Constitution says and they don't know how to uphold it, then they lied. And so we want them to realize that they've been as dumbed down as we are, and that they have to come to terms with this fact. And now that they know it, they have to do the honorable thing. And the honorable thing is to learn the Constitution. Stand on your own two feet. Don't go talking to some New World Order minion, the lawyers out there, in order to understand what you should have understood before you took that oath. And it's okay that, whatever happened in the past, we're concerned what they're doing right now. They need to bone up right now. Hard times are coming. They should know it. They see them trying to take our guns. They know there's a problem. I heard news about Connecticut. We spoke about this, I think, last week, and they're trying to take their guns out there. And I heard some news that we're going to be doing some things house to house pretty soon. But I also heard just recently some news someone shared with me, and I don't know how true this news is, but it's what's floating around the Internet. And that the cops are starting to tell their superiors, I'm not going to take guns away. They said to me that I'm not going to do it. Okay, hey, that's good news. And these are regular cops. These are corporate police. They don't even have sheriffs anymore in Connecticut. And we're going to be doing something about that soon, getting cops in Connecticut. Okay, that's kind of all we have for the update. Let me start reading this paper, and we'll see how far we get into this. This is a letter. Again, it's a memorandum from the Unified New York Common Law Grand Jury, and it is sent out to all of the oath takers, the court clerks, the Supreme Court judges, the bailiffs, all of the bailiffs in New York State, all of the sheriffs, all of the county clerks, and we do it by fax. So it's, you know, it doesn't cost money really to do it. And we just get it out to them on a weekly basis, or as good as we can on a weekly basis. So they're all getting it. We know we are the talk of the state. They are talking about us everywhere, everywhere in New York State. You know, they may not be blurping it out into the news, and they're trying to keep it from the news, and they're going to be very surprised on some of the things we're going to do over the next couple of weeks. But the action, the judges are going to be surprised by our action, and I think all of the oath takers are going to be amazed by our action. And again, it's all about winning them over by just talking about justice, just talking about the truth, talking about who we are. And so we know at the water coolers, there's conversations going on, and we are that conversation. We know that. When they take their coffee breaks or just sitting around, we are their conversation. We know we are. And so the same thing with the judges. The phones are ringing off the hook across throughout the entire New York, talking back and forth with all of the administrative judges. And we are the topic of their communications. So anyway, this is a memorandum to oath takers, the gatekeepers of justice. The purpose of these communiques are to stimulate, to inform, provoke dialogue among yourselves concerning liberty, justice, and your oath, and to inform you that the common law grand jury are just the people rising from the grassroots across the nation from every walk of life, and that our only agenda is to return justice to our court. The day draws near when you will either stand with the people or the tyrants. And so the subject of our communications this week is a hardcore one. This is our fifth memo before we got into this subject matter, but it's one that needs to be spoken of. And it starts off with conspiracy theorists, domestic terrorists. In the 1990s, dissenters were labeled conspiracy theorists and as being mentally ill. In the 2000s, dissenters were labeled domestic terrorists. The Missouri Information Analysis Center labeled Ron Paul, Bob Barr, Chuck Baldwin, libertarians as terrorists. People were declared a domestic terrorist if they supported Ron Paul, demanded the government follow the Constitution. The people, you know, supporters of Ron Paul that demanded the government to follow the Constitution, was pro Second Amendment, was a libertarian, a constitutionalist, a returning veteran, or was opposed to any form to the Federal Reserve. The sovereign citizens. Let me just get a little water here. The sovereign citizens. Progressives control both parties and have seized control of our government and are working overtime to cast legitimate dissenters in a negative light simply by associating a word with an evil act. The origin of the term sovereign citizen in its contemporary vernacular, the term gained its roots in a shootout following a routine traffic stop in Arkansas, as it turned into a violent confrontation between the police and a father and son paired so-called sovereign citizens. According to the corporate-controlled media, this event, which occurred on July 1, 2010, brought attention to a secretive and dangerous subculture, which believes American laws don't apply to them. In short, if you do not like some aspect of the government, you are now one of those new domestic terrorists and should be subject to government control outside the bonds of constitutional protections. The newest globalist trick to quell dissent and to subsequently violate the rights of legitimate government protesters is to hide under the guise of being labeled the sovereign citizen. The term sovereign citizen is deceptive because in political discussions about who has the power in society, the term gets used quite often. For example, if the people are the sovereign, then the people have the power over the government. If, on the other hand, the government has the power over the citizenry, it could be accurately said that the government is the sovereign. Police magazines, www.policemag.com, which goes out to every police department in America, addresses and defines a sovereign citizen as the new domestic terrorist. The strategy is simple. If one criticizes the government in any form, they can be labeled a sovereign citizen. If the government can label one a sovereign citizen, then the citizen has no rights, and ostensibly the government can do whatever they will with that citizen. This is a very slippery slope, and the government and its police agencies are fully committed to this strategy. Police magazine's comprehensive definition of what constitutes a sovereign citizen, minor offenses such as the manufacturing of fraudulent license plates, registration cards, or currency, example, using gold and silver coins. These people should be considered to be armed and dangerous. Calling in of a SWAT team during a routine traffic stop might not be an overreaction to the threat posed by sovereigns. They complain about mortgage fraud or banking fraud. The police are also cautioned to be on the lookout for words like indigenous, sovereign, diplomatic, exempt, or private property displayed on the personal license plates. Police officers are advised that sovereigns will engage in willful terrorism because they may actually video record their interactions with law enforcement officers. Police are also cautioned to be aware of certain dangerous key words that sovereigns are likely to use, like oath of office, traveling in a private capacity, domicile, and the 14th Amendment. New York statutes say that the people are sovereign. New York Code, New York CBR, and I'm sure you can probably find a code in your state, law subsection 2, supreme sovereignty is in the people. No authority can, on any pretense whatsoever, be exercised over the citizen of this state, but such as is or shall be derived from and granted by the people of this state. The United States Supreme Court says sovereignty itself remains with the people. Sovereignty itself is, of course, not subject to the law, for it is the author and source of the law. And in our system, with sovereign powers are delegated to the agencies of government, sovereignty itself remains with the people by whom and for and whom all government exists, and the acts and the law is the definition and limitation of power. Yick versus woe. United States Supreme Court says that sovereign citizens make the law. Law is made by the people, constitutions, not legislators. The Constitution permits limited statute making and the control of the behavior of the people and the control and behavior of the people is not among them. In American Banana Company versus United Fruit Company, it was decided the very meaning of sovereignty is that the decree of the sovereign makes the law. So you decree it, and it is the law. The New York Supreme Court says people of New York are sovereign as any king before us. And we read this in Lansing versus Smith. The people of this state, as the successors of its former sovereign, are entitled to all the rights which formerly belonged to the king by his prerogative. United States Supreme Court says people under common law have the defense of sovereign immunity against all legislated laws. Yick versus woe again. The doctrine of sovereign immunity is one of the common law immunities and defenses that are available to the sovereign. The United States Supreme Court says sovereignty dwells in the people. Perry versus the United States. In the United States, sovereignty resides in the people. The Congress cannot invoke the sovereign power of the people to override their will, as thus declared. The New York Supreme Court says people of all states are categorically sovereign. Lansing versus Smith. It will be admitted on the one hand that with the exception of the powers granted to the states and the federal government through the Constitution, the people of the several states are unconditionally sovereign within their respective states. And by the way, we have a lot of footnotes that we run through these things. We're not reading off on. It just really just gives the authorities of what we're speaking about here more information on these authorities. The United States Supreme Court says sovereignty is fixed and absolute in the people. We read in Minor versus Happensett, Republican government, one in which the powers of sovereignty are vested in the people and are exercised by the people. The United States Supreme Court says sovereignty abides in the people, not government servants, as we read in Spooner versus McConnell. The sovereignty of a state does not reside in the person who fills the different departments of its government, but in the people from whom the government emanated, and they may change it at their discretion. Sovereignty, then, in this country abides with the constituency and not with the agent. And this remark is true both in reference to the federal and the state government. The United States Supreme Court says the people are sovereigns without subjects. In the Supreme Court case Chisholm versus Georgia, at the Revolution, the sovereignty devolved onto the people, and they are truly the sovereign of the country, but they are sovereigns without subjects, with none to govern but themselves. The United States Supreme Court says public agents exist to aid people, not lord over them. Christom versus Georgia. It is the public policy of this state that public agencies exist to aid in the conduct of the people's business. The people of this state do not yield their sovereignty to the agencies which serve them. United States Supreme Court says either people are sovereign or the government is sovereign. They cannot coexist. Gaines versus Buford. The word sovereign state are Kabbalistic words. That means it has a hidden meaning. Not understood by the disciple of liberty, who has been instructed in our constitutional schools. It is our appropriate phrase that applied in an absolute despotism. The idea of sovereign power in the government of a republic is incompatible with the existence and foundation of civil liberties and the rights of property. Rights trump statutes and codes. The United States Supreme Court says Bill of Rights are not to be defeated by statutes. In the case of the U.S. case David versus Wetzler, the assertion of federal rights, when plainly and reasonably made, is not to be defeated under the name of local practice. The United States Supreme Court says no rulemaking on rights. Miranda versus Arizona. And anybody who has never read the case, and we do have that case up online, Miranda versus Arizona, everyone should read that case. That case is as rich on sovereignty, probably, equal to the richness of United States versus Williams on the common law grand jury. So people should go out and read that case. Fascinating case. We get a lot of power from that case, Miranda versus Arizona. Where rights secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no rulemaking or legislation which would abrogate them. The United States Supreme Court says no statute to prevent rights. In the case of Scheer versus Cullen, there can be no sanction or penalty imposed upon one because of this exercise of constitutional rights. The United States Supreme Court says there can be no statute preventing rights. In the case Geraldo versus the people of the state of California, it was said the state cannot diminish the rights of the people. The Constitution for the United States of America, Article 4, Clause 2, is the law of the land. As we read, this Constitution, this is Article 4, Clause 2, This is the supremacy clause that people speak about. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all the treaties made of which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. So that is the supreme law of the land. So how did we get from the people being sovereign to the conclusion that sovereigns are terrorists? The answer is simple. The progressives of both major parties simply hate the America that our fathers founded, and they are hell-bent on destroying our foundation of law. Our founders established and replacing it with codes or statutes. Lawyers are taught by progressives who teach them that statutes are law and that common law has been done away with. Statutory law and common law, also known as natural law, are like mixing oil and water. They are a contradiction to each other. You can either have one or the other. As William Penn said, men must be governed by God or they will be ruled by tyrants. On the statutory law side, we have federal legislated statutes that control people's behavior. We have state legislated statutes that control the people's behavior. We have county legislated statutes that control the people's behavior. Town legislation that controls the people's behavior. City legislations that control the people's behavior. The mind of men are trying to control every aspect of your life. And on the common law side, we have the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Magna Carta, the Holy Bible, the mind of God. You control your behavior and answer to the people, the grand jury, if you injure or violate someone, and in the life to come, you answer to God. Okay, we're just about coming to the end of this. George Washington said, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquent, it is a force like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." Being sovereign is America, is the American experiment. Tyrants want the people to be subject to them and not free and independent, a.k.a. sovereign. Presently, they lord over us with unconstitutional legislation called statutes because we, the people, have been so dumbed down that we don't realize what is the law until we start puzzling over it and start reading books. The people that are waking up and standing up in our courts and elsewhere are being labeled sovereigns, which law enforcement are being taught means terrorists and cop killers. So now you know, what is a sovereign? And the answer to the question of who are the sovereign, we are your mothers, we are your fathers, we are your grandparents, we are your sisters and your brothers, we are your children, we are Americans, we are your founding fathers, we are you, and we just want our country back. Police across the nation are being militarized, and soon you will be going out on operations instead of patrols. And you will be caught up in arresting and killing people in the name of America. After all, they are just sovereign terrorists. If you don't bone up on the Constitution and lead others in honor, we will be like any other occupied third world country with no hope and at the mercy of two-bit tyrants. Signed by order and on behalf of the 62 Unified Common Law Grand Juries of New York. And then we have a seal. And we did eventually, you know, we weren't going to go out and get an impression seal. We were just going to use this ink thing that we really copied, you know, made off of Staples and just, you know, made an icon out of it. But I decided that it's probably very important for the state to have a seal called the Unified Grand Jury, Common Law Grand Jury, Unified New York Grand Jury Seal. And so I purchased one so that the rest of the papers that we now, you know, we impress, we also don't have to go out and impress all 62 seals. We will make a page with small ink impressions of all of the seals for the state. So whenever we do anything in a unified way, that one page will be attached. But on the final page next to the signature, we will have an impression. And that's very important, I think, that we do have an impression. So I do suggest at some point that the state get together and get yourself a unified seal also, so that when you act together in one accord across your state from every county and you come to an agreement and you're going to send a letter out or do a bill, a true bill, united as a unified grand jury, I think it is important to have that seal. So you might want to consider doing that also. All right, I guess with that, we'll open up the phones. Let me get over to the phones, and I guess we'll take our first caller. Gerard, are you here? Gerard? And I don't know if he's here. Let me open up the first caller. It's 812-926. 812-926. Go right ahead.
Hi, I'm just listening. My name is Joe.
How you doing, Joe?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So you didn't have, you mistakenly put your hand up, I guess?
Evidently, I'm sorry.
Okay. You don't have a question anyway?
No. One other, about next week, will we be able to call in with a phone number?
Yeah, we'll put the new phone number on the page where we're at on our website. For those who are listening in on us through Blog Talk, if we're not here on Blog Talk next week, then we will be broadcasting at 9 p.m. You'll have to come to our website, nationallibertyalliance.org, and you will have to just click on the call-in page, the Monday night call. And you'll have to sign in, ask a few questions, and you'll get a link to click on, and you'll be able to enter in at that time, which will be at 9 o'clock. I think they allow you to get in 10-15 minutes earlier, so you can get in 15 minutes earlier and wait. And we will have a call-in phone number at the same page, so you'll be able to come into the page, you'll be able to listen to the program. There's a chat room there. And we also will be able to do things on the desktop. You'll be able to, do things on the desktop, and you'll be able to see. And we also will be able to open up different web pages and so on. But to actually talk to us, just like you have to do here, you have to make the phone call. We'll have a phone number there, and you'll just phone in and put in the code, and you'll be in the room. So...
Okay.
It's not too much different than what we're doing now. I think the only difference is that you're going to have to put a code in when you make the phone call. Right now with Blog Talk, you make the phone call and that's it. You don't have to put a code in, but in the new one, you'll have to put a code in.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Let's take the next caller, 307-322. 307-322.
John, I am here. I got knocked off and I was signing back in, but I am in here.
Okay. Well, my dog is in the office here and she was whining to go out, but she stopped whining, so I have to get up and walk down to the other end of the room and to let her out. But she starts whining. You can take over till I let her out. 307-322. You got the mic. You there? Okay, I guess we'll go to the next caller. We're going out to New Jersey. Is that you, Jason?
Yes, it is.
How you doing, Jason?
I'm doing fantastic. Very good. I'm getting goosebumps hearing what you're doing and setting that sovereign citizen, the FBI, on their royal behind, and it's really great.
We have to inform the police on this. We got to make them understand that they're being duped. And
now,
I think this letter does it with – but this letter works only with the fact that we've got four or five letters before it. That's very important, I want to tell you. Start off where we start. You can take our letters and use the very same letters on your oath takers in your state. Just change a few things to make it your state. There's not much
right,
to change.
Correct.
And add to it if you want, but stay on focus. You're teaching these people and you're building them up. You're given prerequisitional requirements of understanding before you go to the next item. We're explaining who we are. We're laying it out for them.
And basically, I'm being focused. Oh, but this, by the way, when I was on the website, you had 49 and you said 62. There's just an error on the website. I just saw that.
Right.
And
I got a call before the program started. I did fix it, but I haven't been able to get up online to fix it. It is 62. I guess our last letter, we had 49 on it then at the time. I don't remember. But in any event.
But again, very good letter. So we'll be constituted by the March the 22nd. We'll have the last 15 states done. We'll have 8 this week and this Saturday, and another 7 on the next following Saturday. We're just putting out the records, and I like to even see you're saying you want to get 20 states done by the end of April. I put on outside of those 10 states that don't have leaders. Let's multiply that. And let's do it by April. And if we fail at 50%, we'll still be a 50% higher than what we would be if we didn't put out our own goals. You know, you set your goal. If you fail to get there and you're 50%, you didn't fail. You just got 50% where you wanted to be. And we're all successful failures.
Well, I agree. I hope everybody that calls in says the same type of thing. Let's do it now. Let's get them all. Look at... I believe before midsummer we will have pretty much every county in throughout the nation. But I think we could do it in 2 months. I can think we can have pretty much all the counties or most of the counties in the nation by the next 2 months. If people, everybody that just gets up and does their county, connect with others and do your counties. If anybody who's watching the numbers, we moved up to a total of 199 constituted counties across the nation. And that's up quite a bit. It's moving. It's going to move very quickly, I'm telling you. It's going to be another 10 year and 5 year. Before you know it, we're going to have 300, 400, 600, 1,000. We're moving.
That's actually 200. I can't get Monmouth County back up there, but we're actually at 200. But again, I was saying this to myself, and you beat me to the punch there, Brother John. I want every state to have their own free conference call-ins. That way there's no excuse. And one thing I have to say, stop having your pity parties, folks. You're not going to get everything you want, but if you get half of what you wish, you're still 100% better than what you were before. And, you know, people want the numbers, but again, Just to reiterate what John said, you need three. If you call the arms your counties, and you only had three people there, and you do all your paperwork, each one of the counties that you called out will be constituted, because they're in the state. You only need 25 people to be your common law grand jury. But because we understand that there's no way in God's green earth that 25 people can take care of like a state like North Carolina that has 100 counties. That's a lot. That's 400 people you need to do an operations for it to be effective in a common law grand jury. And there's no excuses for anyone. I mean, this little thing, I'm a successful failure. I was told at the age of 14 I was retarded. I was left back twice. I was so retarded, folks, that I went on to high school and college, did it in 6 years instead of 8, went on to my master's. I'm so well educated, now I'm overqualified. But the real thing is, I'm not any better than the next man. I'm just on my course to do what that's necessary. And everyone here is a superstar. Don't let anyone steal anything from you, because you're doing it, and they're sitting on their hands like the characters in The Little Red Hen. We're going to be feasting, and then they'll be starving. But again, we have mercy, and we're going to share with them. But we can do this in less than a month. If you're really that determined, you can pop it out tomorrow. But again, if you think you can't, you won't. But if it is to be, it is up to me. So please be your own best friend. And if you can't get out of your own way, then let someone else take the points. Thank you, John.
Okay, thank you. And remember, we're all leaders in this. There's no one to lord over each other. When you get someone that starts to lord over you and your group, it's time to you got to push that person down. No, they can't do that. Now, it is true some people will take leadership roles. It is true someone may be educated in a particular area, particularly maybe common law or the UCC stuff, or maybe they're educated in the process of the court process and procedures. And so, of course, they should take the lead roles in that. And some people can talk to the judges and not be intimidated and be able to even intimidate the judge to turn it right around. But we're all learning. You know, the old saying that anything in the professions go, you watch one, you do one, and you teach one. And if we're all just involved in that, we'll all get to where we have to do. And we recognize that each one of us may have some specialties, and when those specialties are there, let them take the lead. But they're not your boss. They don't make the rules. They don't have any more of a vote than you do. They don't get any more of a say than you do. And whenever you got someone that's starting to control that kind of thing, then it's time to talk to that person and say, hey, no, you gotta back off, okay? And, you know, we all have to lead together. It's going to take four people minimum in each county to do what we have to do. And that's all it's going to take. You know, there are certain counties, like the large counties in New York City. You know, you go to the Bronx or Brooklyn or Queens or Manhattan, and it's Staten Island. And even out onto Long Island, we've got two counties out there. They're very highly populated. You know, I think something like, goodness, I forget. I think 50% of the population of New York is down in those counties down there. And more than 75-80% is in the population south of Albany, you know, so in that one small area. So some of those counties down in the city, they may require five administrators or six administrators. They'll figure that out as they go. But they get what they got to get, and they do what they got to do. But generally speaking, it's really four administrators in every single county. And we are the investigators for the common law grand jury. Go ahead.
And let me interject that 78,000 people we need for the 3,142 counties, and it may sound like a lot, but again, we are spread out through the 50 states, and hey, it's not even the 50 states. So you,
well,
we
that's
gotta,
only
we,
it's only 12,568, so it's a lot less than that.
Oh,
it's only 3,000
right,
counties times 4, 3, 6, 9, 12, plus the 142. So it's 12,000. That's all it takes is 12,500 people across the nation to seal the whole thing up and administrate to the common law grand juries. You become the eyes and the ears and the investigators for the common law grand juries. You get to be the individuals who get to really fix most of the problems. You'll be where the rubber meets the road. You'll be able to meet with people and give them the prescriptions. And believe me, when you find the problems and you show it to the people that are in office, and you let them know that, hey, you got to change this. This is how you got to fix it. They're going to listen to you. They don't want to be indicted. They're going to listen to you. Mommy and daddy are home, and they're going to stop their nonsense. They're going to listen to you. You know, we're going to have to indict a few people here or there like we did in New York. But once we do a few and they understand that we mean business, they're going to straighten up or they're just going to leave. And whichever they choose, that's fine.
John, I've been maybe this is off topic, but I've been looking at the oath of office of our everyone that takes a political election or an office has an oath of office, and they also have to be bonded. And,
correct.
And what I understand, you don't even have to necessarily go through a common law grand jury, or you can go through the state law to file, what is it? It's in New Jersey, it's called official misconduct, and in other states it's probably the same thing. But in my understanding, if you do something proper, like you see a judge that violates the First Amendment right, the Fifth Amendment right, the 17th Amendment right, and you file charges, my understanding, once that grievance goes in, they can no longer be an agent as a judge or a police officer or even a mayor in that point. Am I right?
Well, yeah, that's somewhat true. If you, for instance, in New York, we used to have some kind of an oversight committee. They've done away with that. And but if you made a report to that, they became as crooked and as bad and as criminal as the judges. They're on the take. And whatever you file with them, they take it, and a month later you hear back from them. It's no findings. This is like going to court, no findings, no standing, no cause of action. And so it's just a bunch of BS. But when that system was up, and by the way, they got rid of all of them, so now they have nobody watching them. And but while that system was up, when you made the report, nothing happened. And if they did find them with a problem, they would sanction them or something, but they wouldn't lose their office. You see, we're not going to tolerate that. The judge gets one phone call, straighten up or ship out, and that's it. We're not going to talk to you about it no more. And you just lay it out to him. Now, if he doesn't behave, he's gone. That's it. He's just gone. Yank him from the office, and then you're going to have to, of course, to yank him from the office, you have to bring an indictment, write a true bill against him. And so whatever it takes, it's going to happen. So these guys will obey, though. And now
right.
The people, see, here in New York, the judges don't have bonds. And I found that out from calling down into the main office in New York City, down at the executive branch of the administrative offices. And they actually told me, they said, judges don't have bonds. And I was beside myself. I couldn't believe it. I said, well, who backs them up? They said, the comptroller. I said, well, you know, that's taxpayers' money. So you're telling me I'm backing them up? And they were silent on the phone. But that's what they're telling me. But you know what? When we go after them, we're not going to go after them. If they don't have bonds, well, then they must have private property. They must have boats. They must have, you know, vacation houses and nice cars and a fancy home. We'll take it all. Whatever it needs to be done to pay back the damages to whoever they damaged, we will take it. And that's what we'll do. But we have an interesting thing coming up here in New York that everybody's going to hear about soon. And I think and we're going to cover some of these problems in this thing that we're doing. So,
And does it take more steps? Even our county leaders can even set up the free call conference. That way you're doing it for free. You're getting people to get together.
Everybody can pull this program down. You could use it. You look at it, if you only have a couple of people, I think Skype is the way to go. Because you're face-to-face on Skype. You could pass files back and forth. I use Skype. When people call me, I take, you know, sometimes 2, 3, 5, 10 people on a call at the same time. And so I'm doing conference calls all day with people. And that's how I handle all the calls that's coming in. If I didn't have that program, I would never be able to handle all the phone calls. It just would be an impossibility. I would never get any conversation done. So it really works well there. And the other thing is when you do it, when you're getting together with more than 10 people, then you do the conference call thing, and it is a beautiful program. It doesn't take much to figure it out. Just go in there and push buttons and move things around, and you'll figure out how it works.
Well, we've been using it in Jersey, and I have to give thanks to Pennsylvania, because that's where I got the idea from. And
yeah, I've
thank
heard
you,
it from others too, yeah.
But I just found out from Pennsylvania. But I just want to say that I'm working with Gary and as a stake organizer for the National Liberty Alliance, and I will do my earnest best to fulfill our objective and to be honest and sincere with what I do. And one thing that everyone needs to be on fire, have your passion and your energy, because you cannot duplicate that. And when people feel that from you, you're energized and you're leading people. Remember, positiveness brings positive things. Negative things bring you down. And it's like when I was a teacher in Newark Public Schools, I'd make an ugly face and I'd say, I have two faces. A smiling face and an angry face. And I say, how many people want to meet the smiling face? They raise their hand. How many people want to meet the angry face? No one raised their hand. All right? These are kids. They know what's good and what's bad. Let's follow the lead of the children, because the children of the child will lead us. And let's have that kindly child spirit in all of us, because, again, our adult selves are too cynical. And if we lead with, we cannot go forward with cynicism, but we can lead with faith and spiritualism. And with that, I yield to the floor, John, and thank you for letting me speak. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Jason. All right, we'll take our next caller here. 860-689, you should be hearing. You're unmuted.
Oh, hi. This is Mary from Connecticut.
How you doing, Mary,
really,
from Connecticut?
Great. Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited about you coming up on Saturday, and I love everything that I've been hearing and learning and participating in the past couple, 3 months with National Liberty Alliance. And I want to just let you and people know that over the past couple of years, I have been studying and acting as a pro se attorney in a couple of different, several different legal complications that I've gotten, become a victim of, actually, through the state of Connecticut. And through my learning, I found out that the correct method, prior to knowing anything about National Liberty Alliance, was to get a grand jury investigation. And so since April of 2012, I've been going to the Superior Court with motions several times that have all been dismissed. And this is the third time now that I've advanced it, and I'm advancing one right now to the Connecticut Supreme Court. And they received all three of the motions, and they just simply dismissed the other two, claiming that I didn't put them in properly, and there's, you know, this, that, or another thing. But this third one, I am actually putting in an official appeal in which the judges who have known me now all the way to the Connecticut, you know, Supreme Court Justices Rogers, I've been a real pain in the neck, I guess you could say, for a couple of years in Connecticut and really blowing the whistle. And if anybody wants to find out about it, they can Google my name, Mary Bagnashi. But what I want to ask you, John, is what I see happening, unfolding here, quite through a lot of divine intervention, I love everything that you're doing, everything that you speak of, especially infusing as much God and biblical facts and facts, constitutional law, everything that you go back to and study over and over again. You know, like tonight, talking about the sovereignty and your reinforcement of all of the different, I know I'm kind of getting off a little bit, but all the different laws that back up everything that you say, all the natural common laws, it's just fabulous. And it's coinciding with everything that I've really been working on for a long time. And within the next month or so, you know, my official appeal is going in with this motion this week. And by Saturday, actually, I'll bring you the documents if you want to take a look at them when we see you on Saturday. But with the Connecticut Supreme Court justices, I don't feel that this third time they're with the public. Well, I've been putting all this out on Facebook for quite a long time. You can watch my YouTube video. Actually, Danny McAvoy, a new coordinator in Connecticut. Thank you, Danny, if you're here and listening, and Pat, too, but all of our people here in Connecticut. We have a strong group, Dan, I'm drawing a blank, but we have so many great people, Sharon. And we had a really great crowd when you came up this last week, too, by the way. Thank you for that. But what I'm seeing happening is that these Supreme Court justices, and I'm also hitting up the Connecticut Attorney General, going by Connecticut state law and practice in who can order a Connecticut grand jury, as it stands now, it would be a 1-3 judge system, Superior Court level judge that's appointed by the Supreme Court. This is where the current laws read, from what I can understand of them. But under what we're doing now, and I keep telling everybody, oh, yeah, we're getting the common law, and they know we're coming. And like you said, around the water cooler in New York, well, I feel for a long time around the water cooler in Connecticut, too. There's a lot of people that are afraid, a lot of, you know, judges and attorneys who are really afraid of what we're doing here, because in another year, and I say, you know, 5 years from now, this is going to completely replace our current broken, completely broken judicial system. It's really so exciting. My God, answer to prayers. When the common law, the way I see it working with all of the things that I've been fighting, that I can set to either a common law grand jury in our situation, and I guess that's the question, once we get somebody saying, do we have the keys to the court? Once the Connecticut system grants me a grand jury, because I've been asking, what's the steps to sequester a grand jury? What is the citizen's right to sequester a grand jury? I've been asking that for almost 2 years in motions. Mm-hmm. And every time I put in a motion, I get busted up for another false criminal charge, and I get hauled off to prison. And it's not really funny. It's actually been very serious. I'm facing the fifth set of false criminal charges. I've been to the prison twice. I don't want to take up too much time, but watch my YouTube video. It's called There's Something About Whistleblower Mary. Well, there sure is. But I keep on telling the Supreme Court justices, look, you can sit and it will unfold where they will only oversee it. But once we get this common law grand jury, it's going to be the common law jurists that are going to perform the, task of thwarting out justice based on our interpretation and of the facts that are presented to that jury. And I just see all of this happening very miraculously.
Yeah, and I think it's going to happen very quickly. Yeah, we did have a good group out there in Connecticut this past, last week, and I think we're going to be getting a lot of people together coming this weekend when we put together all the counties out there. We only got 8 counties to work with, so we can do it over the weekend and get them all constituted,
wow.
and we're going to have people from all of those counties coming in, and then we're heading out to Rhode Island after that. And then we're heading up to, I'm not going to take the trip into Massachusetts, but some of the people going out there is going to go into Massachusetts and even Maine. And Maine is starting
hooray,
to move, too.
Hooray, I can't
so,
say how happy I it's thrilling. And, you know, the way you outline all of your steps in this wonderful website that you have produced so lovingly and put so much work into, my God, the jurists. These steps are so simple, and you've unfolded everything to perfection. I have to say, I mean, I've been really in a dire strait, like a lot of people, for 3 years, over 3 years in the criminal justice system of just really, and even longer than that, in my particular predicament, but in my government corruption story, but whistleblowing story, but. The way they've used the courts and police against me in retaliation, and what you were saying tonight about people who are identifying themselves as being sovereign people are being targeted and whatnot. And what's this I see on the website tonight? Somebody made a mention of they were going to put out an arrest warrant for you for the faxes and stuff that you sent to judges. Did you read that?
Yeah, they could say what they want. Look, at these judges are frightened of us. There's no doubt about it. They have nothing to say to us, and they got to do it. No, I haven't read it, but I'll go out and take a look. What is it, on the front page?
Today's post. No, chat tonight.
Oh, on the chat
on the
tonight?
Chat tonight said, hey, you know, have you heard?
Oh, well, that's probably that guy out there, Bill, I think, maybe. I don't know, someone. Look, we got a few people that come in, they're troublemakers. They just want to make negative statements. They tell lies.
That.
Huh?
Yeah,
and they tell lies, and they, I don't even know why they bother coming here. I mean, they're probably lawyers, I guess, or something. They'll probably deny that. But I don't know why they bother coming other than just to disrupt us. And actually, you know, we probably should dump them out there, but we give them the opportunity until they get too obnoxious, and then hopefully we kick them out. I don't watch the text chat because I'm too busy listening and being involved with what you're saying than to read that. But in any event,
well, you're wonderful, John. I'll tell you, I'm so happy. I've been looking for you for 3 or 4 years. I've been looking for National Liberty Alliance, and I just found it just, I don't know, 3-4 months ago. I've been coming every Monday night, and I've been studying it as much as I can. It's shocking. It's wonderful to see.
Well, remember, National Liberty Alliance is a lot of people. There's a lot of people behind the scenes, a lot of people working. I may be the one with the biggest mouth, you know. But in any event, you know, what we have to do has to be done in months and not years, and we can make such changes. I'm telling you. We can bring this nation back to 1789 before the summer is out if we really put ourselves to the work here.
And we have to.
Oh, we have to. There's no doubt about it.
Hey, let me ask you something. Here's a question, and then I'll let somebody else go on. What do you think about a grand jury eventually investigating the Connecticut Newtown shootings?
Well, that would have to be up to the people once they're in power, once they get everything fixed. You got to get your sheriffs in place. You have to make your counties work again, and you have to bring the judges in order. And so once you do that, then you could start looking at cases. But I think you're going to be overwhelmed with cases before you can go look for cases. I think cases are going to come to you, and you got to deal with what's on hand first. And then you get to the other things that maybe be there's something that you have an interest to try to discover the problem and the solution to. But I want to say this. We have put in a lot of thought in different strategies and where we're going from here and where we're going from there. And if they do this, we're going to do that. So it's a lot of strategy working out. And in the process of doing that, we've come up with an idea for Connecticut. And trust me, once New York is sitting in position, we know how we're going to help Connecticut get everything back and get it back quick. So we're going to work on that with Connecticut. Connecticut needs that assistance. We have another county. We have another state that has the same problem. Matter of fact, two of them, Washington and Oregon, I think are pretty tough states. They're going to need some help. And we can utilize the same plan we're going to use with Connecticut could be utilized out there. Now, we have some heavy-duty hitters in the sense of common law people out in California particularly and in other places, even in Utah and Arizona. So those people and also up in Washington and Oregon themselves, we have some good common law people. So we can help them from New York and lay this out. They could do what we're going to do to help Connecticut and do the same thing in those states to get back their constitution again and save the republic.
Thank God. And it's the only peaceful solution. I love that in all of your everything that you've put out there. And I just want to say, way to go on New York being number one, getting all your counties organized, and also what Florida just became the second.
Florida is going to be number two on Friday. Yep.
Well, congratulations.
Connecticut is going
to
be three.
I am so proud of everybody. This is fantastic.
Connecticut is
going to
be number three, by the way, and Rhode Island will be number four, and New Jersey will be number five. Unless someone beats out Jersey.
Wow.
Maybe there's someone out there that could beat out Jersey. Let's make this a competition. Let's get it going.
Yeah, I've got a friend and friends in Pennsylvania that need some help, so we got to get that going.
Well, we got someone out in Pennsylvania. We're pushing along, and they should be able to assist. And I think Jason mentioned that he'd volunteer to go to Pennsylvania and help. And I'll go to Pennsylvania, too. I don't have a problem. I have family in Pennsylvania, and I'll head down to Pennsylvania to help. So first I want to get
careful,
to...
Be careful, John. Angels go with you, you know. Godspeed, because
it's all up to God.
Yeah.
It's up to God to keep me going.
Yeah, well, you know, I send you a lot of, and the National Liberty Alliance and everybody here, a lot of prayers for protection and
appreciate
and grace, you know, and Godspeed to everybody, okay? Take care now. Good night.
Thank you.
I'll keep listening. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll move to the next caller. 801-602, you should be hearing. You've been unmuted.
Hey, everybody.
How you doing?
I'm from Glens Falls, New York. I was born there on the Hudson River at Glens Falls.
Okay, how you doing?
Raised up at Lake George, just a little ways from the Bloody Pond and the Fort William Henry. I walked into the Warren County Municipal Courts Law Library in 1974, right after my father died. Dad was a carrier pilot in the Pacific for the United States Navy Air Corps. My family has been on this continent since 1628, about 150 years before the United States came about. And I've studied the right of revolution, the prerogatives of the king, a lot of William Blackstone's writings, obviously, and have been a constitutionalist since I was given the great honor of being asked to join the Green Mountain Boys, the militia, to do the reenactments at Lake George, New York in 1976. So I've been a constitutionalist a little while. You're doing a great job. I can't be more supportive of what you're doing. I joined up tonight. This is Swamp Fox, by the way, your newest comrade, I guess is the way to put it.
Well, we'll stay away from the comrade, though.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, that was tongue-in-cheek. I've got a bit of a dry humor. But in any event, you know, considering the mess going on in Ukraine and the Crimea tonight, I figured I'd throw that in. But, John, I can tell you with absolute positive certainty that the National Liberty Alliance is certainly well within its constitutional prerogative to be reasserting across this land the citizens' grand juries. I put out a short YouTube video months ago about a citizen's obligation, a sovereign citizen's obligation to stand up when the law is being violated, even when it's being violated by the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the President, the Attorney General. Mr. Holder and I have got a lot of problems. And obviously local law enforcement has no right, moral or otherwise, to transgress the law of the land, our Constitution. I would like to throw in this evening, however, something that I'm a very big fan of, and that's what the Allied troops left behind in the wake of the Second World War. Fascinating reading. I don't agree with 100% of it, but I do agree with a great deal of it, and that would be the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. I believe it's something that took centuries to take form, and I see it as a U.S. Constitution on steroids. I'm currently in the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Richmond, Virginia. Judson Witham versus New York State. I'm suing Eric Schneiderman because of the massive fraud that has been committed against my family. My mother and father served during the Second World War with distinction. When you were in trouble, you were on your radio begging Swamp Fox to get them off you. My dad was the Swamp Fox. That was his radio call sign in the Air Corps. And my dad was one of the first people to stand up against the creation of the Adirondack Park. My dad went head-to-head with the creator of the unified court system in the state of New York, that lowly little piece of manure. Used to be the Supreme Court Judge Richard Bartlett from Glens Falls, New York. Richard Bartlett, if you're out there and listening, sir, I'm going to do everything in my power to have you indicted for what you did to my mother and father. in Warren County, New York. John, they stole 600 acres, my family's home, my parents' business, and their farm, 600 acres right on Lake George. The reason they targeted my father is Dad stood up against the creation by the Hochschild Mining Cartel, Nelson Rockefeller, and the boys from the Rothschilds banks to create the Adirondack Park in the wake of the failure when they couldn't get a United States National Park in the Adirondacks back in the 1960s. Dad saw what Nelson and Jay and Lawrence and David Rockefeller were all about, and he, as a honorable American citizen, stood up and began to publish the Swamp Fox newspapers, an expositor that I helped him publish that paper as a kid. So I've been in this game a long time, John.
What county are you in? You're in Warren County?
Well, currently, John, I've got to be honest with you. I'm about as hot a target for retribution and repression as anybody in the country. You can Google my name, Judson Witham Bank Looting, and you'll see what I'm talking about. I've spent the past 30 years trying to stop these SOBs that have robbed the national banking system for how many trillions, John? How many trillions have been stolen from the national treasury?
Yeah.
By the central bank. You'll see, John, that the guy that just called your show and joined your group, I joined up tonight, sir, officially. Mm-hmm. I've been involved for decades, but I signed on to National Liberty Alliance tonight because, John, you know, I'm standing down in the mountains. I can't tell you where I'm at. I wish I could. Gary Bagnasty can tell you why I'm very guarded about exactly where I'm at. I got some real serious enemies out there. The reality is that we have in this republic the right of revolution. And with the current state of affairs in the Oval Office, this nation is as close as we've been in a couple of centuries. This is serious.
You're absolutely right.
John, I figured you'd agree with me. I don't know why. You took a wild guess. But we're in trouble. This nation is in deep trouble because, as you've come to know, the common law has been thrown under the bus. The national government, as it is in bed with the communist Chinese. I mean, if you were to take this conversation back to 1965 and be explaining to the American people that the United States government was in hock up to its eyeballs to the Chinese, the country would have blown up. People would have just absolutely gone berserk. How we've gotten so deeply between the sheets with Chinese communists, mind-boggling. Just absolutely mind-boggling.
Well, absolutely, and we have a real serious problem with that because we have over 600,000 foreign troops on American soil, which I believe 300,000 of them are Chinese, and I think 200,000 are Russian. Somewhere in those numbers, I don't remember what the numbers were. I've said them numerous times, but we do know that there's over 600,000, and this is a very serious problem. And what you're saying is true. You see, we have the only peaceful solution. The question is do we have the time to do it? There's no doubt in my mind. I've been saying this for years, but I'm convinced this is the year now. They can't wait no longer. They're going to pull the plug this year. But you're absolutely right. We do have the right to rebel, and it's in our blood. You know, we read in, let me read just a few words from the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the people. Therein is the grand jury. That whatsoever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that government long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experiences hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the form of which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new gods for their future security. Now, I'm going to stop there, but I want to say one thing. We don't have a problem with our government. We don't have a problem with our whole system. We don't have a problem with our Constitution. We don't have a problem with the Bill of Rights. The problem we have is parasites that have taken control of our government. And the problem we have are the people. The people have to be fixed. The people have to become educated. You know, Thomas Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. Knowledge is power. And that's why we're telling people right now, today is the time of knowledge. Now is the hour of gaining knowledge. Now is the hour of organizing and preparing. And we're going to receive that power very soon in the next few months. And now we're going to be able to execute it. But we have to establish the knowledge. We have to establish the organization in order to exercise and execute it. We can correct all the problems just by correcting our judicial system. It is the foundation of who and what we are. It is what describes us as a people, liberty and justice. Justice, the word justice, and I've said this numerous times, the word justice is synonymous with virtue, Black's Law Dictionary. And it leads right to God himself. It is whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, think on these things. This is virtue. And that's what our courts are to be full with. And that's what we have to bring into the courts. And we bring that light into the court, darkness will run. The rats and the cockroaches will flee into the corners, and they'll abandon the ship. And, you know, we have the duty, and we have the authority, and we have the power once we're in there to fix and repair all wrongdoing, whether it be in the political or judicial realms. And that's what we intend on doing, and that's what we have to do.
John,
and we can do this swiftly.
John,
we can do it quickly. And we can take
John,
back this government that's in place and reinstate our Constitution and Bill of Rights. Go ahead.
Let me throw this in here. You have a extensive legacy in the Adirondack Mountains up in the North Country of freedom-loving Americans. The Blue Line of the Adirondack Park was created by the Hochschild Mining Dynasty. Check me out. Nelson Rockefeller brought in this Hochschild Mining Company because they knew that the remnants of the original American patriots were in those mountains. Rockefeller knew what was in the ground in the mountains of the Adirondacks. My dad was extremely vocal about what they were imposing within the Blue Line back in the 1960s, and my father was specifically targeted. And I know that for certain because I remember being knocked out of my chair and tackled to the floor at the headquarters of the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation about a year after my father died. I was slammed into the floor, and the investigative dossier that they had on my parents was ripped out of my arms. I can polygraph to that. And I want to end by saying this to you, John. Warren County, New York, is where Richard Bartlett, and if he's listening, is home just a little bit north of the Queensbury Country Club along the Ridge Road, just a little bit south of Harrisina. I got a lot of history to share with you, John. Richard Bartlett created the Aero Financial Group, which runs your North Country banking system, the Glens Falls National Bank. And Richard Bartlett is one of the worst criminals that New York State has ever seen. And he rose to be the Chief Justice of the New York State Supreme Court. Those fellows have a date with me before I'm done breathing on this planet for what they did to my parents. John, I'm going to let you go. This is Judson with him. Not fooling around. I wish I could tell you where I am, but I got some people out there who would sure like to do me in. So I can't share that with you. You're doing a great job, and that lady that you spoke to just before me,
mm-hmm.
Mary Bagnaschke, I know a little bit about Mary, and she's in quite a tussle up there in Torrington. She's got the goods on some extremely serious corruption in the Torrington Housing Authority. She used to work there, and she got crosswise with the dogs that took control of the Torrington Housing Administration, and they retaliated against her. They rooted mm-hmm. her out because she wouldn't go along with their little criminal enterprise. So I just wanted to let Mary know that there are people in this world that are paying attention. And, John, we'll see you up the road, and Godspeed, okay. Everybody. Godspeed.
All right. Appreciate the call. Thanks for sharing all that. Godspeed. Okay, let's take the next caller. It's a unlisted number. You should be hearing. You've been unmuted. You got the mic.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, John?
That's me. Hey, how you doing?
This is Corey from Kings County.
Yeah, how you doing? I recognize your voice.
It took me the second
hello before I recognized you, but I recognized you. How you doing?
Yes, I'm doing fine. I have some great, great news for everybody.
Okay.
Everybody. Listen to this.
I'm a listener.
The name of the story is Iceland, the Mouse that Roared.
Ah, I remember that movie years ago. Yes.
Yes. It's written by Szandor Blessman. That's S-Z, Szandor. Blessman with a T. It was written March 16, 2010. I thought I heard something the other night. It was a distant sound, a low rumbling, a roar from some far-off beast that had finally pronounced its presence. It woke me for a second. But it was so distant I felt no threat and simply rolled over and went back to sleep. The next morning I learned that Iceland was taking a stand. It was refusing to pay its British and Dutch debts. It is claiming the debts are a result of fraud. And it's right. They have made the offer to pay some years from now if they can afford it at that time, and only as a percentage of their GDP. This offer has been, of course, declined by Iceland's creditor banks as a demand payment in the form of real assets. Now, that's major, you know?
Because mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. how Iceland beat the corporate bankers, you know, this is something that we need to follow. You know, corporations understand that they have a green light to punish people ruthlessly for even a modest improvement to their bottom line. And, you know, you could ask Caterpillar workers if you want details on that. Whole nations may be bled dry to shield financial institutions. From the consequences of their own bad behavior, the Greek government is deliberately creating a national Great Depression to appease international financial interests, you know. So these are the type of things that's going on. And Iceland, you know, they also forgave the mortgage debt for the population, you know, as well as they rewrote a constitution. It says, to write the new constitution, the people of Iceland
By the way, that's coming to America. Mark this day that I told
America.
You that. It's coming to America very soon. We're bringing it.
Very soon.
Go ahead.
Yes. Yep. And this is. I just want to share that with everybody because in the meanwhile, each and every one of us could be following this story. By the way, it's on Infowars.com. Alex Jones, he follows this story. And, you know, the people of Iceland, they elected 25 citizens from among 528 adults not belonging to any political party, but recommended by at least 30 citizens. And I'm saying citizens, citizens which are subjects. This document was not the work of a handful of politicians, but was written on the Internet, as we're doing, John.
Mm-hmm.
The constituents' meetings are streamed online. And citizens can send their comments and suggestions, witnessing the document as it takes shape. The Constitution that eventually emerges from this participatory democratic process will be submitted to Parliament for approval after the next election. Now, this type of stuff has been going on since 2008.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is nothing new. Also, Iceland forgave the mortgage debt for the population. It shows when the people do stand up, they have more power and win against the corrupt bankers and politicians of a country. Iceland is forgiven and erasing the mortgage debt of the population. They are putting the bankers and politicians on the bench of accused, which means I assume they are putting them on trial for corruption. Now, the rest of the people of the world need to start doing the same thing. We all need to stand up against all the corruption and fraud of the banks and politicians that are puppets of the banks and corporations. That's huge.
That's right.
That's huge.
And all of that will come tumbling down the day that every county in America, or at least most of the counties in America, turn their courts to common law, and the war is over then. We win. They lose.
We may not even need all the counties. Cause one
we don't
sure
need
is,
them all. We just need most
yeah.
of them. And we will have most of them very soon.
Before I go, I want to say this. I will encourage everyone to watch this footage. It's a movie. It's about 2 hours and 50 minutes. It's called Consent of the Governed. John, have you ever seen it?
Interesting name, huh?
It's on YouTube, everyone. Please. I encourage
Consent
everyone listening
government.
To view it. It's worth
yes.
it. It's called Consent of the Governed. And they have, I think, 11 or 10 or 12-year-old little girl in there speaking about this stuff. And I would just, the stuff she was speaking about, some grown-ups don't even know. You
wow.
know? So I want to end with that. Thanks, John.
Okay. Thank you, Corey. Hey, how's your case going? Keep in
great.
Touch with me. Keep me in touch.
Definitely.
Give me a call tomorrow, not tonight, because I got things to do tomorrow, and I got to get to sleep early. As soon as this is over, I'm in bed. But let's talk in the next day or so.
All right, I'll call you tomorrow.
All right, Godspeed.
All right.
Okay, we're heading out to Long Island, I believe. 631-728, you've been unmuted.
Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine. I wanted to ask you, because I've been following someone called Karen Hoodress, who is a whistleblower for the World Bank and crookedness and rule of law. And she mentioned that there was a second constitution written in 1800s after the Civil War, and that constitution is the one that set up the United States of America a corporation, and that's the one that is running the country, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with this?
Well, I'm not familiar with the Constitution, but I'm familiar with the story. And look at they're on corporate charter. They're not on Constitution anyway. But yeah, they have things in a. Well, I know all of the amendments to the Constitution after the first 10, of course, which is referred to as the Bill of Rights and considered part of the body of the Constitution. But anything after the 10th Amendment, to me, is suspect. And we have the 14th Amendment, which was a major blow to the people. But they're under a corporate charter. And once you understand that and you understand who your enemy is and what they're doing, and then if you can put their feet to the fire and put them in a box in a courtroom, you can win. I know that because we've been doing it.
Well, the whole point is that everything is incorporated. Every
yes.
town, every village, every police department,
we
every school.
Are corporatism, absolutely, and we are an oligarchy. We're not, They claim to keep telling us a democracy, and we never were a democracy. A democracy is one step away from an oligarchy, and once you're, and
right.
we're an oligarchy. That's where we are right now.
Well,
there's
right.
a couple
well,
of people behind the scenes that control this country.
I know. So, okay, so I just wanted to know if that would, you know, would have interfered. Yes, it is. It really is the Constitution that was written for the corporation.
Right.
So it
well,
really
the Constitution we have, I have gone through the Constitution that we have very, very carefully, and I can, I'm, matter of fact, I'm going to do a layout on the power of the legislators sometime soon, and you're going to see exactly what power they have, and nowhere do they have the power to create this fiction and fraud upon the people, and nowhere do they have the power in any way to put any kind of legislation out there that controls the behavior of the people. And the states, they have gone way, way out there. Even as far as New York State argues, and people in New York State argue that believe in this system, okay, they make the argument that the U.S. Constitution can be, overtaken by the state constitution. And, of course, they fail to understand that they as a state, we as a state, we have a contract with the other 49 states, and we have to be obedient to that Constitution. And Article 6, Clause 2 is a supremacy clause, and it says that anything repugnant, ultimately, in other words, this was declared in Marbury versus Madison, 1802, that anything that is repugnant to the Constitution, that being the U.S. Constitution, little u, big S, United States, of America's Constitution, anything repugnant to it is null and void. And I'm going to do a I'm going to lay out very carefully one day soon all of the points of the legislators and their powers and what they can do and what they can't. Well, the Constitution tells them what they can do. Anything else they can't do. And it's
right.
very, very controlling, in my opinion, from reading it very carefully. You know? And the court system
right.
we have today, I was speaking with Bill Thornton today, and we were talking about judges, and he was talking about how these judges really are chancellors. And the chancellors actually have the authority and the power to make the law up on the spot and make the
right.
decision. And our system was never set up that way. We're not to have judges. We're ultimately are to have justices, or we call them magistrates. And but they're justices, and justices is synonymous with that which is virtuous, and they're supposed to reflect the will of the king, and the king are the people, the will of the grand jury and the trial jury. And if neither is in the court, then they're to reflect the will of the sovereign of the court, providing, of course, is righteous. And, of course, whenever an individual is going up against the government particularly, they're always righteous. And a corporation, people are sued all day, all long by corporations. They don't understand, you know, pull it into the common law side, a fiction cannot sue a reality.
Right,
corporations
right.
cannot sue people. It just can't happen.
Right. Unless they're considered people.
right. So, you know, we're going to, and they did that. They did that. They changed corporations to persons, and now I think they're
I know,
moving forward.
But yeah. listen. John, I came across something very interesting, and it is a website that's called the Grand Design Exposed, and they have a review of a book that is called The Rule of Evil, and it comes out of a historic background out of the Roman Catholic Church. I used to be a Catholic, so I'm not talking against my former religion. But it comes out of the Roman law and the Vatican and the rule of law that the Vatican has spread around the Western world, which is out of Roman law. And which is what's really, I guess, it probably translates into admiralty law.
Well, yeah, Roman law really came out of, ultimately it came out of, what's the name of that place? Babylonia. And
yeah.
it was really called Babylonian law. And later on it was changed by an individual called Justinian to Justinian law. And then it became under Roman law, then civil law. It worked its way into England and right into America. And this law, of course, is repugnant to our Constitution.
Yeah.
And
now,
the whole idea or the philosophy or the strategy of the whole law is that the legislators are trying to control every aspect of our lives. And
exactly.
So they go to statutes to decide everything, and nothing could
exactly.
be more unjust.
Now, the very interesting, there was a blog talk. I'm going to send you the link. You can decide if you want to listen to this. Compares the Roman Catholic Bible to the Protestant Bible and the differences between and
mm-hmm.
what Catholics have to adhere. It's really important because I don't think the Catholics really realize what they're signing away when they follow this structure. And
yeah, I don't know. I don't know that we want to get too much into that kind of a discussion.
I know, it affects because it is the Roman law and this religious law, which is supreme in the sense of the. Whatever. I don't want to discuss. I don't want to get you into hot water, and it's not really...
Right. Yeah, well, again, you know...
To compare these two different versions of the Bible. It's a very well-done little interview for half an hour on Blog Talk. I'll send you the link. You can listen to it if you want to. It's very interesting. It's important because, you know, as we form grand juries, we also have different people who come from different walks of life and have different world views.
Well, that's true. I'd like to say, though, this. You know, I was born and raised a Catholic myself, and I left the Catholic Church for numerous reasons, and I went from church to church, leaving numerous churches for numerous reasons all my life. And I haven't been at a church in goodness over, I got to think about it, well over 10, 12, 15 years. It's been a long time. My children are brought up Christian. They're brought up out of the Bible. We believe in God. We believe in Christ. We believe in doing the right thing, honesty and honor and justice and mercy, all the things we talk about here. And I get that out of my Bible. But the Bible, you know, does tell us that, you know, he cares for all of us. And even those who are in Satan's house, because many churches, not just that church, but many places you go, they're really, you know, wolves in sheep's clothing.
I know.
And God protects his children from that. So if you're one of his children, you don't have to worry. I do know one thing.
I'm fine.
That coming out of that place at that point, that later I did have structure. I did have principles. I did have, morals. I was a very morally minded person most of my life, although I've been a troublemaker and, you know, did stupid things, but nevertheless, you know, I've been a moral minded person all my life. And I came out of a place that wasn't necessarily so perfect in teaching the word. The point is God reaches down into the depths of anything and takes care of you.
They have a different version, a different way of looking at things.
Well, I don't.
My family signed the Declaration of Independence, John, and my family member was the only Catholic that signed the Declaration of Independence.
Uh-huh.
But he was.
Well, I don't want to get into this kind of a discussion, though. I want to really get away from it.
I
want to bring
people
together. Catholics, Protestants, Episcopalians, Baptists, and I've been.
Important is our liberty.
Right. I want to make this point. I have been in all those churches, every single one of them, and they got their ups and they got their downs. Nevertheless, the key thing is the true church of God is made up of people, and they're scattered among the churches, and they're scattered outside the churches, and we are the true body of Christ, the true church of God, living stone built up for God to dwell within us. And so we are the temple of the Lord. And so there is no one church that holds a corner on Christianity or anything of that nature, and as a matter of fact, every single one of them has a fault, and that's a fact. That's what I've seen, it's just been our opinion at some point in life to just be in our Bible, and that's it, and that's where we live in our Bible.
I think more than that, you have to be in the heart.
Well, if you're in the Bible, the Bible's in the heart. Okay, so absolutely. All right, with that, I'd like to end that
all
conversation.
All right, John,
anything
thank you
else?
Very much. I just thought I'd, you know, connect with you on that subject.
All right.
Okay,
have
a good day. Good success.
God,
I'm reading all the news, and I'm very excited.
All right. And by the way, you know, we have non-denominational Bible studies up on the website. If anybody hasn't seen that yet, you know, it's Bible studies. And I want to tell you, they're very powerful, non-denominational, and they're very powerful studies that are line upon line, precept upon precept. There are no, you know, church doctrine in those studies whatsoever. So anybody who might want to enjoy them, go check them out. I will tell you, these are the studies that I cut my Christian teeth on, I guess you would say, going back in the 70s. So.
Okay. Well, I took a different path. I'm a spiritual teacher. I teach consciousness and healing, so I have a different, little bit different view. But in the end, the message is the same.
Okay. Thank you for sharing.
Okay. Have a good day, and I and
you
I.
You too. And we'll look
and,
forward to
you
coming back again.
Did you ever hear from
Kevin? Which Kevin? Because there's a lot of Kevins
and
out
Arnett.
West.
Arnett.
Oh. Have I heard from Kevin Arnett? I got to remember.
He sent an email.
Yeah,
I
is that
it,
for the radio?
Huh?
For the radio?
No,
for
Kevin.
Radio?
Kevin Arnett is the guy who was going with the against the Vatican. Remember, he had the lawsuit.
Oh yeah.
The International Court of Common Law.
Right.
And we had some conversation. Brian and I had some conversation with him, but. He never
followed
through. Hey,
Gerard, keep the conversation going because I got to get a bottle of water. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah. We should probably think about breaking for a little. Yeah, he came to New York and we were supposed to meet him there to talk to him, and he was supposed to call us when he got there, and he never did. So I don't know what happened.
Well,
and,
I've
and,
met him and I've spoken to him and I know, and I wrote to him about you, and I said you guys should get together because you're on the same. You know, Paige, you're on the same purpose. So I sent
right.
I sent John an email, and because Kevin answered my email and said he'd like to connect with you and John, whenever, and he was going to be in New Jersey next month. And
this was about 5 months ago, maybe.
No. This is last week.
I didn't. You see, the trouble is if he sent John an email, John probably didn't. He gets so many emails, it gets lost in the sauce.
Who should I send it to?
It's tough. I mean, you could send it to National Liberty Alliance to me. I think my email is up there, or you can send it to, when you send
who are you,
mail.
Not your rail.
I'm Gerard. Gerard53 at live.com. Yeah.
All right, Gerard. All right. I'll send it to you, Gerard.
Mail in. Yeah, I'll look out for it and see. I mean, sometimes I miss it, too. I get all as much email as John does. I just, I try to go through.
Well, that's what I figured might have happened, you know, that email sort of got lost.
Anything that might be important, they should call me, because phones are what I like to get in there.
Right, they should just call. I mean,
yeah,
he
but
could,
he's in
he
Canada or someplace in Europe, you know, he travels all over the place. It's hard
right.
for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
so
when he's here, he should call and let us know he's here, unless, I don't know what happened last time, he didn't call us, you know, and...
Well, he's
I don't know, we
under,
just wanted to talk to him, you know, I mean, I kind of know what he's about, and what he's doing, and I kind of applaud a lot. I don't agree with everything he's doing, but I think, just like, you know, everybody else, I think that we're on the right path, you know what I mean?
Well, it's to eliminate a lot of horrible stuff, and it's based on documentation, so it's not like he's inventing it.
No, I'm not talking about
that. And
there
are a lot of witnesses that prove this. It's really very horrible stuff, terrible,
Oh, it is
terrible.
Horrible. But the thing is who is actually really going to do, you know, it's again, the methodology
Well, they've tried.
Is
they're trying. They're trying the Pope for child trafficking.
Right.
The current
right.
It was trafficking children in Argentina.
It's very, very hard when you go to the top like that and start hacking.
He's really risking his life.
Yes, he is. And we don't really want to be there right now because we're trying to build the foundation. And, I mean, I only talk to him for ideas or moral support or something like that. We would never joined with him as far as that goes.
No, it's not our path. No. He has a different path. It was just comparing notes on common law or something like that.
Exactly.
But they have a tribunal in Belgium.
Right. I know that. I did look into their stuff, and we did, like I said, we did talk to him briefly, but the ball got dropped somewhere along the line. But anyway, you know, we are familiar with
it. Just tell
me
your name again, James.
No, it's Gerard,
Gerard. Okay, Gerard. Oh, Gerard. I have a friend whose last name is Gerard. Okay, I'll remember
that.
There
you go. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, guys. Have a happy day.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Yes, John. Bye-bye.
All right. Godspeed. Bye-bye. Okay, let's take our next caller. We got 530-598. You should be hearing. You've been unmuted. 598.
Hey, John. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. It's Kelly Mordecai here in the state of Jefferson, a.k.a. Northern California, a.k.a. FEMA Region 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder what region we're in, huh?
Region 5, I think we are. But anyway.
Let's see here. Yeah, I just wanted to tell a inspiring story, if I may, about what happened here in Siskiyou County. We're on the Oregon border. And this happened in 1988, where the grand jury ran the district attorney out of town. The district attorney was actually handcuffed and thrown in the slammer. First, a little bit of background. The district attorney's name for the county was Charles Sloat. And I don't know all the details, whether he was or wasn't guilty, but I do know from the paper archives the grand jury indicted him. What happened was there was the 40 thieves that were kind of in control of the county and the judges and stuff. They're gone now. The local paper ran them out of town by elections and information. But anyway, so Sloat was brought up here. Why? Because one of the 40 thieves had a bunch of grandchildren that were doing drugs. And, of course, you have the DA brought up here from another county. You get little political favors like, that's right, my kids can do drugs, my grandkids can do drugs, and nobody's going to get caught. And things got worse with the Sloat DA position. There was child abusers who were not even investigated, child molesters, and there was a two-year-old that was murdered, and he did absolutely nothing. So in a six-month investigation by the civil grand jury, which California has civil grand juries, six-month investigation, they indicted Charles Sloat, the district attorney, and then that wasn't the end of his situation. The good old boys got him off, but the local paper published that the district attorney got indicted. And this is during campaign season. And so him and I think John Marshner was his name again. I don't know, guilty, innocent, who knows, but the grand jury got them both. Re-election campaign was for Sloat was at 66%. It would have been a third term. After the paper released the grand jury's indictment story, re-election came, and he went down to 33%. He was just creamed. And then you had John Marshner. He was running for a judge. He was a deputy DA running for the judge. Well, you got the district attorney. Oh, wait a minute. We used to work together. We got DA, we got judge. What a combination. So John Marshner was also indicted, and, of course, he got off. But, again, the paper, and he lost, too, for a judge position to a local civil attorney. And so that's kind of the history. In California, we have these civil grand juries that you can submit a petition that goes directly to the grand jury. It doesn't go to a prosecutor or any other gatekeepers. And our statutes in California, the grand jury, when they're deliberating, they can tell the judge and they can tell the district attorney, get out of the grand jury room. Get out. Bye. Get. And so they're all left alone so that no manipulative games can be played. So in 88, somebody knew this great power, got the other grand juries convinced, and we ran a corrupt guy out of town. He was indicted, by the way, for malfeasance, misfeasance, derelict of duty. He was just hammered, and he is now gone.
Do they understand the principles that we teach? Do they understand that statutes are not law and that you can't control the behavior of the people, and without a injured party there is no crime? Do you know if they understand those principles? that grand jury?
Civil grand, well, it depends upon, I've known some people that serve in the grand jury. It's, they
right,
the
but do they
jury,
indict people? Do they indict people for violating statutes?
Do they indict people
for violating a statute?
Violation
for instance, if you don't have a a permit or a license to carry a weapon, and you get caught with a weapon without a permit or a license, will they indict that person?
If I was on a grand jury, I wouldn't indict somebody for no fishing license and game and warden, you know, fishing game
wants
to get them.
No, I'm talking about carrying a weapon.
Oh, carrying a weapon.
Right. See, a grand jury doesn't have the authority or the right to indict anyone for carrying a weapon because that's a Second Amendment right. And I don't know that. See, I know there are a lot of juries that have stemmed out of, California. Someone was doing something back in the 80s, and I'm aware of that. And later in the 90s, of course, after the United States versus Williams case came about, a lot more California grand juries came about. I spoke to some people who were on some of them, and one of the major problems was is they didn't understand the judicial or process, and that's why they could never get anything, any cases through. One of the other problems that they were plagued with, and they were also plagued with, I found in Florida and some other various places, with dominant people who would come in and take over the grand jury, and they have the same problem because people are trying to lord over everyone else and controlling them. And so that's a major plague that we all have, and we talk about this often, and we want people to be aware of this and watchful of this, and we need to get rid of these people that try to come in to take control of us, to start to make rules on how we're going to operate. No, we don't need no rules. I got my own rule. You got your own rule. And we got principles. That's what we need. We need principles. And and if we all operate
absolutely
on just principles, we don't need any rules. And our principles is justice, honor, and mercy. I can't think of anything else you need. And of course, the two maxims, if there's no injured party, there is no crime. And for every injury, there must be a remedy. We got to fix the injured party. We got to find a way to do that. And you see, if you operate off those principles and those two maxims, you got it all. You don't need to worry about anything else. It's all common sense from there on in, you know?
Well, yeah,
I
agree. You know, if I was on the grand jury, there'd be gun owners. I'm not indicting this guy for this. This is stupid. It's education
right
of the grand jury, individual grand jury members, and that's what I like about that you're educating people. You know, when the grand juries know their power, they will have another Charles Sloat indictment story. It's just a challenge to get people educated. And it was just surprising. In California, you can volunteer for the civil grand jury. I hope people are trained, educated, they volunteer, and they become civil grand jury members. And, in fact, in my county, they have to advertise. They have to advertise for people to get on the grand jury. They haven't even had a radio advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
That's a California system that's very unique.
Mm-hmm. Well, what we need to do is we need to – one of the things we're going to do in New York, and we're going to try to tell people to do the same thing in their states, and that is we need to get into the schools. We need to start in the college-level schools first because those are the people that are coming out of the high end there, and we need to get in there and teach them about the principles. We need to teach them about the process and the procedure and get them interested in it and let them understand this is their duty. And on the other end, we also need to get into the high schools and in the grammar schools. We need to get the education into the grammar schools. You know, one of the things I was going to do a little while back was write a textbook early on when I started working on this stuff. But when we went national, that whole idea just went away because time doesn't allow for it. But at some point, someone or me or someone's got to write a textbook. And we got to get this into the schools. And every child coming out of grammar school should be able to walk in a court and represent themselves. That's what we need to teach. And we need to, you know, we haven't left the political process. We never got involved in the politics of the political process because we actually bring Democrats and Republicans together, and we bring them together on the principles of the Constitution and justice. And once we get this established throughout the states, you know, what we're doing here with the grand jury and all the juries, we're going to go back and we're going to be working on the committee man process, and because that's how we get down to the people. You see, there is a committee man in every single election district, okay? And,
you mean a precinct captain?
Well, they call them different things. They call them precinct captains in different states, I'm sure. I know Pennsylvania, I think, calls Ohio calls them that. But, you see, right now it's a private parties. But we will get back into that, and we'll start talking about that and how we can get back to the principles of Washington. Because Washington spoke in his farewell address. He spoke three quarters of his address, or two-thirds, probably three-quarters of his address, talked about the committeeman and the political process. And we need to get back to Washington's vision on the political process, getting rid of the bickering, getting rid of – you see, because – the political process is all about controlling people. They want to control the legislators, and if they can control the legislators, they can make laws to control the liberals can control the conservatives, and the conservatives can control the liberals. It's a battle back and forth. It's called politics. It's BS. Well, once we fix the courts, we don't have to worry about that. Politics will disappear. But with the principles and getting education back to the people right down on the grassroots level, right down in your own neighborhood, that could be broken down, and they can work together with the people that are doing the grand jury, the administrators, and we can educate the people within our election districts and therefore within our states and get a real good network going. And that's what we have to do. But that's a little later down the road. Right now our business is dealing with the grand juries. That's what we have to focus in. But education has got to be the top thing. Once we get in power, we have to find a way to get the people re-educated.
Oh, yeah. Well, I want to end with a joke. What are the three branches of government?
You want me to answer those? Legislative, administrative, and judicial, but go ahead.
Practically these days, the three branches of government are Larry, Moe, and Curly.
Yeah.
And that is why we need the fourth branch.
Okay. I hope his name isn't Shemp.
Good one.
Talk to you later.
Good night, Jeff.
Bye. Okay, we'll move to our next caller, 707. Where is 707-396? You got the mic. 707. Sounds like an airplane, huh? 707-396. You there? Going once? Going twice? Three times. Oh, there you go.
Yep, I'm here.
How you doing? 707. What's your first name in your state?
Doug in Colorado, and I'm on the Denver grand jury.
Okay.
And so I want to give you a heads up. I've been looking for something for years, but especially since you said you were looking for a way to fund the organization. And so I've found a way that is so exciting that instead of sleeping at 77, instead of sleeping 12, 14 hours a night, I slept 2.5. And so I wonder if I could call you sometime tomorrow, John. And
sure. Give me a call at 845-233-6560. Do it in the afternoon because I got a busy morning tomorrow. And if you don't get me tomorrow afternoon for some reason, you know, hey, if you don't get me, try me back in an hour or two. But you'll get me Saturday what's tomorrow? Tomorrow? Goodness, I've lost my week altogether. Tomorrow's Tuesday. You'll get me.
Give
me a call. We'll talk about that.
What's a good time?
Probably 4 o'clock or something like that, 3 o'clock.
All right. Thanks.
Anything
a lot.
Else?
No, that's it for now.
Okay.
I'm listening every week, all 3 hours.
Okay, great. Let's get these grand juries going. What state did you say you were in?
Colorado.
Colorado. How's things going in Colorado? Do you know?
Oh, I think that Charlene's doing she goes by Charlie. You know? I think she's doing a great job organizing things.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've had her on my radio talk show 5 days a week from 9 to 10 Eastern time. You were on my show one time, and really appreciate everything you're doing. There's nobody like you, buddy.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, you guys got seven counties constituted out of 64, so you're moving along. You got 55 members out there right now, and what you want to do is start working in the counties you don't have people in and start pushing there. And you guys should be ready to start to boom now. I noticed Texas a while back, not too long ago, maybe 2 months ago at most. I didn't even think it was that long ago. Texas had nobody in there. I was very depressed about Texas going nowhere.
Wow.
And now that's Texas, let me see what Texas got going now. Texas now has 94 people, so they're at a point. Once you start to hit that 100 mark, that's when you start to really move, it seems. I don't know. I saw that happened in Washington and Oregon, I think. Let me go see if that was the states. Washington. Let me go to Washington. There it is. Washington. Yeah, Washington's got 107 members. They got 4 constituted grand juries, counties, and they only got 39 counties. So they're doing pretty good. They moved very quickly. I mean, Washington, 2 months ago, there was hardly nobody there. It was a ghost town on our website. But you know what started to move them is when they got themselves a state coordinator. The same is the case with Oregon. Let me go take a look at Oregon. Oregon, there you go, Oregon. Now, Oregon, they got they only got 35 members, but they only got 36 counties. But just a month or 2 months ago, there was nobody there. And a person took hold of that, became the state coordinator, and now they're starting to move. And also Washington, I think, is kind of working together with Oregon. So those states are starting to move. And again, it takes getting a state coordinator. If your state does not have a coordinator, you need to get a coordinator. You got to get someone at the helm that's going to take control to try to push the people in the counties, to organize them, to get them to meetings, to get them to get busy, to stop being lumps on a log, and to get people in counties that you don't have people in counties, and getting everybody working together and knowing each other. And until you start doing that, you go nowhere. Once you start to do that, you're going to start to see your numbers are going to start to pick up because, you know, the word will be getting out and everyone will be working and you have one person here and another person there and before you know it, you're over 100. So, and then 200 and so on. So, anyway. Anything else?
No, that's great. I just appreciate what you're doing, but I have to tell you, it's so exciting to see something positive happening here. And I like they say the 100th monkey concept. I know that when you blew the doors off of New York like you did, I was out there about 3 years ago and spoke and put an all-day event on at Long Beach. I mean, Long Island with about 15 speakers and a lot of work just to get people together, especially when I've never been much never been in New York, but so I draw people up from other areas and all over the country, and so I'm a sovereign myself, and I just I love the law, and I'm with you 100%, buddy.
All right. All right, well, we'll be doing something big in New York soon, and I think it's going to excite everybody. So
great.
All right, let me move to the next caller then. Thanks for calling, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. All right?
Okay, bye.
All right. 585-506. You've been unmuted.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Sandy, and I'm in Monroe County.
How you doing, Sandy? Where are you in?
In Monroe County, Rochester.
Oh, okay. Oh, up in Rochester, here in New York. Okay, yeah.
Right. I just started listening to the calls as of Saturday and then tonight. And I've been following the OPPT or the top move, the TOP, the One People. You're probably familiar with that.
What is it called?
The One People, where all of the... Everything was foreclosed upon in 2012, December 25th. All the businesses, the Bank of International Settlements, and all the systems were foreclosed on. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Yeah, no, I'm not, but go ahead.
Oh, wow. Well, they've been doing something like sending out courtesy notices to, like, when people had their houses foreclosed on. You know, a couple of people got their houses back by sending these courtesy notices. And my question is, I just recently got a speeding ticket, and you use these courtesy notices for that as well. It's to let the people at the bottom know that their systems have been foreclosed upon and they're not even active anymore. Corporations, the government, the you know, the everything's been foreclosed on. Your IRS. And this happened the end of December 2012. It was called One People's Public Trust at first, but then now it's called the One People. So I'm surprised you haven't heard of it.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily familiar with it now. Look, at the whole system is bankrupt, and anybody who owes a mortgage or owes credit cards, or it's very simple to get out of those things ultimately. You know, because the bottom line is that the original people that hold those mortgages or hold those credit cards have sold them out. They packaged them and they sold them to this group, or they went bankrupt and went to that group. Well, the bottom line in court, if you understand how things work, is that if they don't have a contract with you, they're a third party, you know. You don't have a contract with them, so they have nothing over you. They can take you to court if you understand how to do it. The problem is that you have crooked judges. And they give these they give them their defaults, or they fine for them anyway, and all this other stuff. But if you know how to work the system, you know, you can win them. It is a simple process.
This has also closed out the court systems as well, because it's everything. It's brought back to there's only the creator and the people. And so it's kind of leveled everything out. The systems are all gone. The court systems are gone.
Yeah, but someone forgot to tell the judges.
Right, well, exactly. And so that's where, you know, my dilemma now. I got a speeding ticket, and I know it was a fraudulent. I should not get a speeding ticket for, I'm not a victim. It's a victimless crime.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not so victim involved. So I'm just trying to decide what to do now, if I should just send them a courtesy notice and say, hey, you guys are a foreclosed entity, you should not even be operating. And that's what the courtesy notices do, is notifying the people at the bottom. You're not even a valid organization anymore.
Yeah, I don't know how that would go. I mean, you can argue your traffic ticket in order to practice common law if you've been studying it. It's a good place to learn and practice it, because the worst case scenario, you lose there and you have to pay $150, you know, so it's not that bad a deal. And if you can't take it through the system, but you can practice there and make your arguments with the judge and learn how to argue with the judge. But look, at the answer is what we're doing, and I think in 6 months we don't have to worry about any of those things anymore once we take the courts back and bring them back to courts of justice again.
So truly excited about that, and I'm hoping we do whatever we're going to do close by, and I'd like to be attending if that's the case.
Yeah, well, it is. We're going to be doing something big here in New York, so pay attention. We've got a meeting coming up this Thursday in New York. If you're in the list, you'll get the email, you know, if you're registered, use it on a thing. And we'll be meeting every Saturday after this Thursday, but we'll be meeting Thursday, and we're getting ready for a big event here in New York, and we're asking everybody in New York to come to where that event's going to be. We can't say what it is. We can't speak about it in public yet, because it's just strategic not to talk about it yet. And, so we need to get everybody, and people that are in it, they need to get their friends, their relatives, their parents, their children, their cousins, whatever. Come with us to this event, and let's make it work. Let's take back our republic here in New York.
I'm right with you. And thank you for everything you've done. And I'll keep staying on board.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we'll take the next caller here, 760-447. 447, unmuted.
Hi, John. This is Joe in California.
How you doing, Joe?
Good. Hey, I got good news and bad news and a warning. The good news is Jackie and Riverside put on a constituting event in Riverside, and we were able to do Orange, Riverside, and San Bernardino counties for constituting, and I don't know how you could do a better event than that.
Mm-hmm.
In any county, because what she did was not only her own county, but neighboring counties at the same time. So that's right along the lines of what needs to be done. And
absolutely.
Okay, so the bad news is, in my opinion anyways, is that people are still not reading, and I don't think they're going to the central location, which I think should be this forum here.
Well, you've got the bully pulpit. Tell them about it. Tell them what they need to be doing.
I do that. And other than getting a pointed stick, the warning is, and I'll get off, is ignorance is a good foundation as long as you know that that's your condition.
Okay.
And that's it for me. Thanks, John.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Well, let me add a little bit to what Joe has said. You know, it is extremely important that we're all spending time reading, watching, listening. We got to bone up on this stuff. We got to know this stuff. From amongst us, we need leaders that really are working in this common law side, leaders that are really working in the process and procedures, people who are articulate and able to make arguments with judges and individuals and intimidate them, turn the intimidation back around. We need to go in humbly, very humbly. As soon as they take advantage of that humility, then they'll get our other side, and we'll intimidate them right back, and then we'll go back to being humble again. But we got to learn those skills. We have to do them, but we have to know what we're talking about. We have to study. We have to and again, studying for us on the National Liberty Alliance is pretty easy because we got most of our studies are done in audio and video, and so you could make it an entertainment. You can be listening to these things if you're exercising, if you're jogging and you put your MP3 player on, if you're driving to work or whatever, you can be listening to these tapes. And so people need to be boning up, and they need to be reading also. We have lots of reading material. And so if you don't study and bone up on these things, we're not going to get anywhere. So we have to know. And those who do know, let them lead us until we know ourselves, and then we'll lead with them. And that's the way it works. All right, let's go to New York here, 845, my neighborhood somewhere, 445. You got the mic.
Hey, Johnny, how are you?
Hey, Governor, how you doing? Yeah, I know who it is. I tried to hang up on you before you got to it, But go ahead.
Hey, just giving an update. We got things cooking. We got two places in Connecticut. We got to make a choice of 8:00 at Denny's in the morning on Saturday, or there's a library out on the western part of the state at 10:00. It's not in the center. I'm thinking more of the Denny's. 8 a.m.
Well, I think we have to do Denny's in order to get out to Rhode Island for the noontime. So what time are we going to have to...
The other ones in the eastern part of the state, we'd only be like an hour away from East Providence. But, it would be...
We couldn't get anything more central?
Yeah, the Denny's is in Hartford. That's central. 8:00.
Okay. Then that's where we'll go.
Yep, and that's what I was thinking. I didn't hear back... from everybody else. I put it out to them, so I'm going to announce that. We're going to be in East Providence at 2:00 Saturday, so we got 8 counties in Connecticut, 5 counties in Rhode Island. Sheila's got 5 counties in Massachusetts she's doing on the 18th, and she has a schedule to get the rest of the counties done. before the 29th. I'm talking with her now. We got New Hampshire going. We're looking at being up there on the 22nd, I believe. And then we're working on Vermont. So, and then Sheila's going to be going into Maine and getting Maine done by the 29th, too. So I think we have 8 in Connecticut, 5 in Rhode Island, 14 in Massachusetts total, 10 in New Hampshire, 14 in Vermont. That's maybe tough right now. We don't have a lot of people there. And then 16, I think, in Maine.
Okay.
So we got a good... We're looking good for the end of the month to get all of New England done. The only swing is going to be Vermont. So,
okay.
We're in pretty good shape there. And Delaware might be able to get done. Rich said he's something about getting Delaware done. So I don't know if he gets off his rusty dusty before Friday. He might get Delaware done before Florida, but we'll see what happens.
Well, do you hear that, Hagen? Maybe you should give Hagen a call and tell him let's get going. If you're going to get your Florida done by Friday, what has he done for Georgia, Carolinas, and Alabama? You know,
yeah,
what's going
yeah.
on down there? Push him.
Yep. So, yeah, everybody's doing good. And the guys in Arizona are doing well, too. They got a lot going on. There's a lot of people
in
Arizona.
Yeah, where are they at in Arizona? Let's see. I think, did I just look at Arizona? Oh, I did. Arizona.
8 out of 15 are done, and they're working on the rest.
Oh, and they got a lot of people there for 15 counties. They got over 100 people, so they're doing good down there. They can. When are they going to finish? They should be able to finish quick.
They can just go ahead and get it done with the amount of people that they have. So,
absolutely.
So just go ahead and schedule the place and.
Can they
get
it done before the end of the month?
Yeah, I believe so. I'll double check with him again. And but Hagen's doing a great job. I mean, he's breaking through the wall there. You know, they got 3 counties that have accepted the paperwork. And you know, we had this talk yesterday. He's addressing the legislature, and or you know, they call them commissioners down there. So he's about to break through. He let them know that the attorney has a dual oath, and you know, it's not the attorney that's going to be on the hook; it's going to be them.
Mm-hmm.
He gently let them know that.
Well, you need to talk to Arizona and have them talk to people in Nevada, because Nevada's moving awfully slow. They haven't elected anything yet, and they've got 17 counties, so they don't have a lot. But they need to get. They need a state coordinator, is what they need.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll get on the phone out to them. We want to get people on the rest of the Eastern Seaboard. I want to see the people stepping up in the Southern states here. Now that once I know New England is on the way,
mm-hmm.
I'll start working. If people want to step up and help me on a national level, you can. If state coordinators can contact me, my number's on the site, 845-445-6650, 845-445-6650. If you want to help, you know, rounding up some of the state coordinators and get things going, I can give you a little, you know, scenario of what we're doing if you call in, and how we're... a little game plan of getting them done. So it's not that hard. You just pick a place, centrally located, find a place, schedule it, and let everybody know that you're doing it. Once you have a location, people are more apt to be involved and inclined to show up. So,
right.
Just,
and they need a good reason to do it. I'd like to give them 600,000 reasons. I'll give you that after you finish.
Yeah, you know, just... do it and get it done. I mean, it's not that hard. And, you know, I think we're making it a little bit more difficult than what it is. You know, they know we're coming, and it's been a long time coming. You know, this is it's been going on for a long time. And Judson Witham, yeah. It's funny, somebody just gave me his name yesterday, so, and he called in. So somebody must have contacted him, got a hold of him. So and also the guy in New Hampshire that wrote New Hampshire Bill 638 contacted us. He's helping us get going, and we're looking at some of the legislatures that perhaps sponsored the bill might be helping us too. So, you know, that's good news.
Great, great. Okay, sounds good. And the 600,000 reasons, the 600,000 troops on American soil. Let's get this done.
Yeah, you got it, man. So let's roll.
All right. Anything else, Governor?
No, we're all set, Senator. We'll see you in the morning. With Gerard. Don't forget about Gerard there. If anybody's coming to in New York.
Yeah, anybody in New York that's close to Columbia County, not Columbia County, Greene County, tomorrow morning, courthouse, Catskill.
Catskill, New York.
Right.
Right off the way.
Help Gerard win his case. Well, he's already, I think he won it today, so he did some filing, and I think it's going to be a Trump.
All right, yeah, he was trying
to. Hey, John, don't forget, I want to have that paper prepared for the judge to. For the judgment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, goodness. I don't know if I'm going to get that. Let me think. All right. I'll see what I can do. I'll have to stay up a little later. So,
all right.
Sorry about that. I was going to tell you that earlier.
Should
like have
gotten
you
earlier. I would
have
done it.
Here.
Yeah. Forgot all about it.
Mm.
So, I had two other papers I was supposed to get done today, and I didn't get it done. Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
Let me address anybody in Massachusetts. I sent out an email. Sheila's been a little bit more aggressive.
Oh, wait
and
a second. Excuse me. Gerard, we don't need a paper for the judge. You're already done. You give him the paper.
Oh, really?
It's done. Yeah. You've got the paper. It's been filed. It's done.
Oh, okay.
So you don't
need
it.
That's right. That's right. The clerk did it. He doesn't have to do anything.
That's right. The clerk did it for you. They're gonna go into cardiac arrest when you walk in that court tomorrow.
I'll just make a copy hand it to Skillskin, the lawyer.
Make a lot of copies.
All right.
Throw them all over the courtroom, okay? Make paper airplanes. Make paper airplanes. I'll help you float them through the courthouse. Through the courtroom.
If he doesn't put me in jail, he's gonna jump up and down like Rumpelstiltskin. You watch.
Yeah. That's okay. Anything else, Paul?
Yeah, Sheila, people in Massachusetts, I sent that email. Sheila was a little bit more aggressive than the dates that I scheduled. So if you want anybody that wants to help getting Massachusetts constituted, we have 7 more counties. You can contact me or Sheila, Sheila preferably. And we could use another state coordinator in Massachusetts to help her out. So, I'm thinking probably on the western part of the state. If anybody's out there, just reach out to Sheila or me, and we'll make sure that we get them going. And all right, good job, everybody, and I'll see you later. And so I'll see you guys in the morning. Do we still need to be there then?
Yeah, we're going to be there early.
You want me to come and fly paper airplanes?
Yeah.
All right, okay, I'll be there.
Gerard will bring the paper. We'll make the airplanes. We'll float them to the courthouse.
I'll make a better plane than you guys. I do good at pretty good.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, well, I'm heading out of here at about 8, so I'll be up to 8:45.
All right, we'll see you guys there.
All right. Okay, let us take our next caller back out to, we're going to Connecticut, 203, 942. Connecticut, 94, I think 203 is Connecticut, isn't it? 942. You've been unmuted. 203-942.
Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
It's Tim. How are you?
How you doing, Tim? Good.
Okay. I guess my main question I was going to ask was about it, but then there were some more things that I maybe wanted to say or ask. You said that you would you prefer to have the news go out via grassroots instead of nationwide.
Right. Yeah, I decided we're doing well enough, and you know what? When you move too fast and you get people in, you'll start get the enemy. You get people with egos. You get people who aren't really prepared and how we're prepared. So we're probably better off staying in the grassroots level, and we're doing good there. We're getting out into some of the news medias now. But to go out onto anything big where they interview me, they're only going to take that and turn it around and make me a target and destroy my character in any way they can, because they never go after, they can't even touch the message. They won't even go near the message. So why am I going to give them the opportunity to kill the messenger? There's a lot of messengers out there, a lot of people talking to media in different places now, and on radio and local TV and getting into the newspapers. We're out on the wire. People are coming in. We're growing. And states are getting done. So, yeah, I'm staying away personally from the main media, major media.
I don't necessarily see, I mean, I kind of see when you're saying you have, there's a more of a possibility of being attacked, but it seems to me, I don't know, that it could be beneficial that the more the wider exposure. But what's the reason? Why do you believe that it's definitely going to be a much more probability of a large?
Well, Fox News has set the mode. They sent first of all, Fox News and the ADL work together. There's no doubt about it. To give me a right and left kind of thing. They've laid a story out there that's ready to go.
What is
ADL? It is the ADL. Let me see. What's the name of that, Gerard? Defamation.
Anti-Defamation League.
Anti-Defamation League, yeah. Yeah, so they did a 1-2, and it was they got a story ready to go on me now, you see? It's a very destructive story, in my opinion. They didn't address the issues. I was 100% beef, man, 100% beef. These people didn't even have a little piece of cockroach in their food. You know, they had nothing, and yet the story went it clearly was against us, and so that story's sitting there, ready for the major media so they can start moving that story. That's my opinion, and so as soon as you start getting into the mainstream, that's what's going to come out. And it's not going to help us grow. Now, they say bad news is good news, too. You know, it's news. But I don't know. This isn't my business to get that stuff done anyway. God's in charge there. Right now, I think we're doing good as we are. And we're growing every day.
And we're gonna end up at the major news media when the time is right. We won't be able to stop it because they'll end up covering it. And by the time they cover it, we'll already be on our way or already be successful. You know, I mean, they're smart too. They're not going to give us a kick in a shot in the arm if it's going to help us. You know, I mean, the main, right now, the powers that be. You know, think about it. Who runs the major news media? They're all corporate. They're all connected to Obama and the corporate giants. Do you really think they're going to give us a fair shake? Their main thing is to discredit us, and they'll do that if they can. And the only way they're going to come around to our way is when they realize that so many people are so pissed off that they have to start saying, look, we reported. They'll report when they feel like they have to report, because otherwise they're going to get hung up on the telephone poles. That's the only time they're going to give you a good report, when it's game over. At the end of the game, they're going to try to come around and say, look, we're your buddies. You know, they're not our buddies. As a matter of fact, they were the cause of probably 80% of this problem is the news media, programming of the people that they do, and the misreporting of the news. Look what they did to Ron Paul. They completely shut him out. I have no faith in the major news media at all. I mean, every time you get somebody good, they take him off. You know, I mean, even people like Judge Napolitano, they got, you know, but he's still out there. I mean, I think anybody that's real serious, you know, would never get on the major news media, you know.
Yeah, this is the tortoise and the hare.
If they do come out, you have to use their press. You have to think of how you can use it as an advantage. When they do give you bad press, you do get a bully pulpit. You got to be able to speak in short, concise, little brush fires.
And they just lost
listen,
me
I watched
on that one.
Well, listen, Al Sharpton used bad news to catapult himself into the position he is today. He got there on bad news because he knew how to do it. And listen, you don't have to do it, John. We have other people. They stick a mic under their face. You got to say one sentence that really, really smacks them. And the easiest thing is to quote our forefathers. Most people don't even know where those quotes are or, you know, who they came from. I mean, what was that one guy? He said, they're saying that if the people fear the government, if the government fears the people, you have peace, and otherwise you have tyranny, like it was some new thing we made up, something that Jefferson said. That's how stupid and dumbed down they are. Anyway, I'll yield the mic now.
Something occurred to me in relation to that. Maybe the people, the nationwide people, how can we say they haven't communicated through grassroots. It goes via communication, and then in communication there's love. So then when there is that, then they can understand, they can sympathize. But jumping to the nationwide, it hasn't reached them yet. There hasn't been the communication, so then they don't understand. And then they sympathize with the status quo, and then they judge it. That's what occurred to while you're talking.
Yeah. Also, look at it this way. You know, we truly are grassroots. I want to repeat that: we are grassroots. There is no major leader here that's telling you what you have to do and what you can't do, and making rules and trying to control everything, you know. And we're trying to keep even that from happening within the state level and even within the county levels. We're all the people. We're doing the people's jobs, and we have the opportunity, because we're not growing too quick, to teach the principles, to talk about the principles, to instill the principles within us, and also, you know, the two major maxims that guide us. You know, we get too many people too quick. We got people that are not going to be going along with what we're teaching. They're going to be moving for positions. Ego is going to get in there, and people just aren't going to be listening. And then what are you going to have? Then we're going to have a separation and division and all kinds of things going on. So I think grassroots needs to stay grassroots. Why do we want to take the mainstream media to get our story out when we know the fact of the matter is they're not going to get our story out? They're just going to bash us, make us evil, call us a sovereign citizen, cop killers, and all the other stuff. And so if we're working with the grassroots and they're sitting there waiting, laying wait for us to hit that point where they're going to get when they're going to get the major media, and then they're going to hit us hard, they're not going to pull us in before time. And if we don't go into them, they're just waiting. Meanwhile, we're out on the grassroots. We got the local newspapers here or there that picks up the story, and maybe you get a good story here and you get a good story there. People go out to the website, they're reading, they're getting involved, especially the Liberty Group people. Same thing with the local radios, the local TVs. You know, I'm on the radio all the time. Every week, this week, in this week I got two radio connections, I think maybe even three. But the thing is, it's a much better way to go. Grassroots. And you know what? We're going to accomplish our goal no matter what in the next few months. It doesn't matter, number one. And number two, when we hit the big story, it's a story that's going to be awfully hard for them to hide, because it's RICO. It is a huge, huge problem. And it's coming up. It's coming up. So, you know, and again, God's in control. That's the bottom line. I'm not even going to worry about it no more. I stopped seeking that now. I'm just busy about doing what I got to do, and everybody else is doing the same thing, what they got to do, and I think we'll just do it together.
I see. Also, I wanted to ask, what do you think about it? I heard somebody saying on the show that there were some southern countries that were, not countries, southern states that were establishing laws that if people were, not laws, of course, they're statutes, that if they caught any people constituting grand juries, they would be arrested. Did you hear about that?
I hear rumples of stories like that, but I have never heard that anywhere from the horse's mouth, and I'm waiting for the horse's mouth. And what you will hear is stories from professors or lawyers who love to do fear-mongering because they haven't got the ability to win the case. And there's no way they want to get this into the courts. Not even, I've come to realize it, they've come to realize now. New York tried so hard to get us into the court. Now I think they're like taking the sweat off their brow saying, thank God we didn't get these people into the court, into our sandbox. And because we would have made circles around them. And if they understand how we do our courtroom battles, they would realize that their flesh would be on the line, and we would have won in a court. But it would have slowed us down, and it would have taken energy away from us. But no one's getting arrested doing what we're doing. Nobody. They're not going to arrest you because you got United States versus Williams. You've got the Declaration of Independence. You got the Constitution. And you got all the people that are in this working together. You know, I'll help anybody that gets into any kind of trouble like that. Hagen's out there. We got people in California. We got a lot of people behind the scenes that have legal abilities. And we will help anyone when any state comes out after the people in that way. They can't possibly do that. That they'd be revealing the evil they really are if they did that. So they really want to keep this quiet. And as long as they don't hear it in the big news, they're feeling a little comfortable. And the longer it goes that way, they're going to feel a little more comfortable. And then they're going to get caught. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Tim. Let's talk. We'll talk later, maybe tomorrow or something. Right?
Okay. Okay. Right. Have a good night then.
You too, Tim. Godspeed.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to go to... Thank you. Good night. We're going to go to our next... Oh, before we go to the next caller, just want to make this announcement again. I made it a little earlier. We are going to leave Blog Talk. Probably we won't be here next week. So those people who are listening to us on Blog Talk and they don't know, they can come to our website, nationallibertyalliance.org. That's nationallibertyalliance.org. We have a text chat area there. And we have, of course, we broadcast live there. But we're moving into another system, a combination of free conference calling HD.com. combined with Webinar Jam. Anybody who's heard of Webinar Jam, it's an amazing program. And, you know, to learn a little bit about Webinar Jam, you can go on our website, and on the right side of our, website here, you'll see we have a, where is it? Where did I go? Oh, there it is. We have a an icon here that says Webinar Jam. And if you click on that, there's videos you can watch to see all the stuff that these people order, have put into their program. They sell this program for, I think it's $297 a year. And that's what it costs, no matter where you get it. But if you decide to buy it yourself for your own purposes, or a state wants to buy it to use it, you know, to do webinars and stuff, buy it through our website, because we get 40%. And if you buy it from someone else's website, they're going to get the 40%. So if you buy it from our website, if you decide that you need something like Webinar Jam, then give us the 40%, help support National Liberty Alliance. The other thing is we also have over here a couple of things I haven't covered before. We have a National Notary Association. Okay, if you go to that website, I don't know what they charge. We don't have any agreement with them, but the thing is that a lot of us should become notaries. Matter of fact, every administrator should become a notary. I got to get out there and do this myself. Gerard, we got to do this soon. We got to become notaries. And you can go out here and you click on your state. Yeah.
Some things that you can't do there's certain things that you're not able to do if you're a notary, because it makes you like an officer of the court or something. We got to look into that.
Notaries are not officers of the court. We'll look into it. We'll see.
No, it wasn't officers of the court, but there's certain things, positions that you can't hold if you're a notary, and I don't know what it was. Somebody brought it up.
All right. We'll take a look at that. In any event, walk carefully with the notary thing, and we'll talk about that next week again. But we do have an access to an online course. You can do it. They'll give you any state. We also have, I mentioned earlier, the free conference calling HD.com, which is free high definition voice conferencing, and you can get in up to 1,000 callers into the call, and it is absolutely free. It is the most crystal clear program, the most logical, the best control board I've ever seen on any program I've ever been on. I am impressed by it. It is very well put together, very well thought out, and it's all HD. It works just very well. It works great. So everyone should get that. Every county coordinator, and it's free. You don't have to pay for it. But anyway, the big thing is next week we probably will not be on Blog Talk. So if you come out and you don't find us here, come out to nationallibertyalliance.org. On the top left, you can click on the Monday Night Call. You do not have to join, you don't have to register on our site to get access and participate, in the call. But we're going to try to set this up so that anybody who's registered, they will automatically just fall over into the, into the system. But if not, you'll have to go up there and just register. We'll see what we'll do. I just got to fix it. If I can't get it done in time, then we'll still be on Blog Talk next week, and then we'll move the following week. But I think it's going to be this week we're going to make the move. It's a money thing to begin with, and it's a quality thing. The quality of what we're going to get for the one-time payment $287 or something like that. That was it. That's all it cost us for life, period. Everything else is free. So how can we go out and spend $250 or whatever it is a month we're paying with Blog Talk, and we're not even getting the quality that we can get from the other programs? So, and we have a webinar. Well, we can do all kinds of things on that. We can do PowerPoints and everything. So anyway. Just keep your ears open, your eyes open. The information will be on the Monday night program. Come early next week to make sure, just in case. If you didn't get the word, you can sign up and have a little bit of time to get a little bit oriented in there, but it's nothing complex. And the phone, we'll have a phone number on the site, just that you're going to have to put a pin in after the phone number. That's the only difference. Okay, let me go to Mary. Mary, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
Pretty good. I'm here in Oneida County in New York.
Oh, how you doing? Yep.
Before I address what I'm really calling for, I wanted to know, since you constituted all the counties in New York, I went to the website, and I don't seem to be able to find Oneida County there.
Well, it should be in there. Oh, we may not have any county coordinators. Is that what you're saying?
I can't even find the county listed as being constituted.
Well, yes. All 62 have been constituted, but you may not see them in the... If you're going into the county leadership page, there may not have been anyone that clicked the button to be the county organizer there. We have counties where we don't have people to take the control of even the paperwork yet. So we're going to address that this week coming up maybe. And if you're interested in getting involved in this, we'll talk to you about it and get the paperwork to you.
Okay. Okay, now what I'm really calling about is we all know what Massachusetts is going through right now when it comes to their Second Amendment rights there.
When it comes to their what?
Second Amendment right.
Oh, okay.
And right now they're doing door-to-door confiscating of weapons there because they're refusing to register their guns.
No kidding. Where did you hear this from?
What state did I say? I meant Connecticut. I don't know which one I said.
Yeah, they're not doing door-to-door yet. I heard that they were going to do this in April or something. But that's, I don't know that that's a fact. It's what I heard. and they're going to try to confiscate. And where was it we heard that the cops were starting to talk? I think it was Connecticut. Yeah, Connecticut. They don't even have sheriffs out there, and the cops are already talking about they're not going to do it.
No,
so that's very interesting.
There were some polls today where they're actually starting to do these confiscations of the weapons. So things are getting kind of rough there.
Yeah, well, they got to have a warrant to get in your door. Remember that. It ain't got no warrant. Take a hike, Mike. You know?
Well, me and another...
When you open the door, you have your chain on the door. Hopefully, if you don't have a chain, go to Home Depot and get a chain and put a chain on that door and open that door that way. Or, if you know they're outside, don't even answer the door. Don't even answer the door. That's what I would do.
Me and another person had an idea because we feel as though the Liberty Alliance is something they need to empower themselves with. They're considering all that because really what goes on in Connecticut right now I think is going to end up having a big impact on what happens right here in New York.
I agree.
On how things go there. And what our idea was if you would entertain it, to maybe do some kind of a show with us. Not necessarily with just you on it. We don't really know how we're going to put it together yet. But targeting some of the major Second Amendment groups that are on the Internet, where they would probably be very interested in joining the Liberty Movement.
Right. Well, the problem is, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. And we've tried leading the gun groups here in New York to the water of National Liberty Alliance, and they haven't drunk it. A lot of the gun people, they're getting involved. They're just regular people. They haven't really gotten into understanding the serious problems in the state. And now their guns are being threatened to be taken away from them, and they're out there, you know, hunting and doing target shooting and training their kids up with the guns. And it's a club. These gun clubs are clubs, and they have a good time. And now they got some government people coming in there telling them, I'm going to take your guns away. And so this is the first interaction they have with the fact that there's a problem, you know, in our government. There's this crazy movement in our government to disarm us, and now they're jumping into a lot of things because they're looking for the easy way out, and it's unfortunate, but you know they got to go through the hard times like we all have, and thinking, oh, it's going to be easy. We'll join a Tea Party. We'll go once a month to some meeting, and things are going to get all fixed. Well, it doesn't happen that way, and they think, well, they join a lawsuit, or they sign a paper, and then they go away, and maybe they go to a rally from time to time, and it's not going to fix the problem. So those people haven't really woken up yet, but they are being woken up a bit, and we have tried to get them to come out to the website to take a look, and it's really difficult to get them out there to do it. And so, you know, we should do what we can, and if you get one here and one there, that's what we'll do, yeah.
That's why we want to take it to them instead of asking them to come to us. Take it to them, and I have already put the website in there. But I think a show that would kind of.
What you do is you get a hold of when they set these rallies up and stuff, and ask them to invite one of us to come out to speak at the rally. We'll fire them up. We'll tell them how they can save their guns and save their nation. We'll tell them about the real problems. We'll feed them very carefully. With just little morsels of meat, you know. But
Do you have Paul in there in your queue?
Do I have who?
Paul.
Paul? Which Paul?
Paul Beener.
Yeah.
Could you patch him into this call?
I just opened him up. He's open up right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, John.
Paul. How you doing?
Hi. What we were trying to do was. We've been connecting with a bunch of Connecticut people via Facebook and Connecticut groups, and what we wanted to do was put together a specifically targeted radio show to getting the information out to Connecticut to get it to all the people and just get that state jump started right away. because, like Mary said, she was
absolutely... Okay, we've got 90 seconds left, so you got about 35, 40 seconds, if you can get it in. And okay, you can give me a call tomorrow, 845-233-6560, and we can talk tomorrow afternoon. But go ahead, finish up. You got 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, what Mary said was absolutely correct. Connecticut will be the first domino, and once Connecticut goes down, it'll just go across the entire country. So I'm going to have to listen to the archive to get the phone number because...
845-233-6560. 845-233-6560. Okay, we're going to have to end. We only got a few seconds left. You got maybe 10 seconds.
Okay, well, and, grassroots level, you're absolutely right there. No sense in having a bigger target on your head than need be. And
right,
the media is...
And right now, at least we're getting reasonable news. So,
right.
Okay, that just about ends it. Give me a call tomorrow afternoon. All right, we're going to end the show again. If we don't see us here on Blog Talk Radio next week, it's because we're on our website, nationallibertyalliance.org. Godspeed, everyone. Thanks for coming. See you next Monday. Good night.